Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more than table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are as a people inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
That ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look.
Oh, She fills the table and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. This is going to be a hard one. It's kind of, I don't know, it hits home a lot because of the family that I was raised in. And I come from a long line of military and, you know, people of public service. There was around 20.4 million U.S. veterans in 2016, according to the data from the Department of Veterans Affairs. Representing less than 10% of the total U.S. population, there were also around 771,000 World War II veterans and about 1.6 million who served during the Korean conflict in Vietnam, this is from the VA estimations, which we're just talking about the United States on this particular deal right here at the moment, but that doesn't discount the veterans all over the world. It just it really bothers me because there's a lot of things that happen during wartime that it's just really, I'll leave it at that. But there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that doesn't really necessarily get talked about. There's a lot of things, a lot of after effects of war that really doesn't get talked about. You know, you can go out there and you can look up and you can find stats of veterans. And matter of fact, over there in the super chat room over there at ShazizRadio.com, I posted a video link pretty much with close to the same title of what I've started with today's Knights of the Round Table, wherein they outline all the different wars that have been going on since the founding of the United States of America. And they talk about the wars with the tribes. They talk about wars with Mexico. They talk about the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, and all the ones that have come since. A lot of which pretty much have been perpetual and unwinnable, according to, you know, the way that people talk about all this. But the thing about it is there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and, you know, regardless of whether or not I'm actually helpless, I have to be truthfully honest, deep down inside, I actually feel helpless to do anything about it. I mean, I'm just one guy after all. It's not my deal to carry the entire weight of the world on my shoulders. But when you have a heart like the one that I carry, for whatever reason, that heart was put in me, I can't stand to see all this. I had a lot of family that went to war. A lot of those family members' bodies came home, but their minds never left the battlefield. I've told folks that I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon. And I'm going to tell you folks, I'm not the only one. In just about every nation in the world that we live in today, there are people out there suffering in ways that are unimaginable to most. The illusion of freedom that we have here in America, it gives us some bit of peace of mind, and it gives us a distraction that a lot of people don't have the luxury of. Some people actually live literally in war-torn zones. So it's a daily life thing for them just to try to find some food and struggle to survive and clothe and house their families. Or at least what's left of them. In the United States, there's an epidemic. There's a lot of guys and gals that go around, and their only source of relief is to hit the bottle, to take some drugs. They try to hide. They try to hide their symptoms. They try to hide their depression. They try to hide. They try to ignore what it is that they're going through. I tell you, this hits home because of the things that I've witnessed in my lifetime. I do what I do here because I feel an urgency that gets ever stronger with the way that the things that we see going on in our society. I've seen a change in the veterans from the time that 9/11 occurred to the time prior, speaking with the old veterans. I stood next to my Uncle Billy in his uniform. And I was standing there in my Navy uniform. He said to me, he said, "Son, that is the best looking uniform I've ever seen on a sailor." Those words coming from that man after all that he had been through, it meant to the world to me. As a child, I looked at my grandfather. I saw scars from the bottom of his feet all the way up the back of his legs, all the way up his back into his neck. And as a child, I asked Grandpa what happened, but it wasn't something he could speak of, especially to a child. And it wasn't till years later when we sat down and we actually had a conversation. And I found out some things about that day when my grandfather got scarred. And that's just a few people, folks. That's just a few. I could sit here and try to push through all the stories of all the things that I've seen and done in my lifetime. But it's not going to solve the problem unless those ears out there that are connected to the minds of the masses are willing to hear the real message. We let people do things to us under the guise of patriotism. We do things to each other under the guise of freedom. The illusion of what the United States of America is supposed to stand for in the hearts and the minds of the patriots. It's not worth all of what we've seen. It's not worth all of what we've done. I hope that somehow or another those hearts and minds that have been on them battlefields can find some day of redemption. But I know that with the suicide rate of how many soldiers coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq and other places throughout the history of all these wars, they're still fighting battles. And some of them take what a lot of people would like to say is the easy way out. It's not so easy. It's not so easy to take your life. It's not so easy to walk away from your families. Some of these folks live under bridges. Some of them, they live in jail. Some of them's in the worst possible prison, which is trapped in their mind. So yeah, when I think about it, I feel, regardless of the facts of what I know about the human, I feel helpless to do anything. I want to save the world. I want to be out there. I want to save the world. I want to stop. I want to stop all these wars. I want to bring peace to all the lands, to the hearts. That's a big lofty goal. Big lofty goal. And some would say it's impossible. It doesn't matter what you think in your spiritual belief. I can't tell you where to go or what. But a man named Jesus said something, whether you think he was the Son of God or not. He said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move the mountains. And I hope that's true. Because I do have a faith in love. I do have a faith in humanity. What I don't have is a faith in this system that continues to use us as their soldiers of fortune. When the police department turns into armed revenue generators for the state instead of those who are there to serve and protect, something's wrong. When you see laughter coming from people who are so desensitized to killing another human being, something is definitely wrong. I told a story a long time ago. I saw a little child playing Army Man, and it hit me like a ton of bricks because I knew that the media had glamorized it. And I knew that that child did not really, seriously, truly, in that child's heart or soul, understand what it means to go to war. Many, many people are still on the battlefield while they're living in a land of the home and the free and the brave. And they need help. But not the kind of help that the system wants to give them. They want to give them more drugs. How many more people got to go through this stuff before humanity finally gets wise to the ways of the dark side that is ripping us apart? I want to do something. I want to do anything. But I'm just one man. So to me, it's what this Knights of the Round Table is all about. To try to bring them voices from around the world together and us find a way to bring everyone else to the light. Hi, Barbara. How you doing?
Hey there. Hey, Shaz. It's good to be here with you. Hey, everybody out there. People for people. And whoever, wherever else you are listening. I'm right there with you. I could cry those tears too, and you know, I think every one of us, because I just, you know, realize, you know, and I've said this before, that America has been at war 93% of the time. It's like 222 out of 239 years since 1776, our country has been at war. And, you know, then, well, I'm going to go to Great Britain. It's like the sheer quantity of conflicts that Britain has fought from 1707 to the present, it was like makes calculating an accurate figure for the number of years Great Britain has been at war just about impossible. So, yeah, you just say, what the heck? What are all these wars about? In doing our research, you know, we found out that many of these wars were setups, you know, by certain persons in high places. And I feel they don't care. You're crying because your heart is sad. Those are real tears. They're real. You know, that's that human quality of sadness and grief and knowing the wrongs that have been done upon the people throughout the world. It's not just here in the United States, you know. And I think about my father, you know, and he was in World War II. He was in the Navy. And he came back, you know, tremendously damaged. My uncles and other people that I know. And we do these studies and research, and we find out that, yeah, the army, the government does experiments on its own soldiers. That'll raise your eyebrows and spin you a bit. These are facts I'm talking about. I'm not making it up. That our government, you know, governments are your government, wherever you are, you know. I think it's the same. They're all part of the same tentacles of one evil, I guess, I don't know what you want to call it, egg that has hatched. You have the Indian Wars, you have the wars with Mexico, those Indian people, because they were Indian people, indigenous people. You have the wars of the people over there in Europe, of the indigenous people. Today, indigenous people now are fighting other indigenous people, you know. It's just a constant, endless darkness. And it affects everyone, because it's generations, you know. I mean, my dad... his dad, they were all in wars, and so generations suffer from that. And there's no real recovery. How can you recover from doing something that is not your nature? And I know people may argue with us, you and I, about that, you know, saying, well, it is man's nature to kill. I don't know. That's a big show right there. We could question that. I mean, I suppose for... in survival, I guess to survive, you would say that one has to kill another. I suppose you could say that. Perhaps that's real. For me, I don't know. I question that. I guess it's sort of like I have to answer. I feel like I have to answer to how I've lived my life here. And I don't know if I could kill another human being for my own survival. Now, in regards to my child or my grandchild, I don't know. I cannot state that fact until I would find myself there in that moment. I really cannot. I'm not saying that I wouldn't, but I can't answer that right now. But I don't think... we're talking war. We're talking a level of violence against another person or another mother, another father's child, that we don't even know who they are. We're told by our government that they are the bad ones and we must annihilate them. We are told that they are, what do you call them? I don't know, gooks or the names they give another human being to make them non-human so that you can easily, and it's not easy, easily kill other human beings. Well, it's not easy. It's not easy because it's trauma. You experience trauma. And the war, you know, throughout that time of many wars, there's tremendous trauma going on. And you take it home, like you said, you carry it home with you. You know, there's like no relief. There's nightmares. there's various things, the recall of these moments, these horrors that people experience, the men and women, and they suffer from that, and the family suffers. And I have to say, in this moment, like in our tradition, in the indigenous way, when the warriors went out to war, they came back, and they weren't, let's say, they weren't, there were no parades. Parades, think of that, the parade, the ticker parade, what do they call it, the ticker parades to welcome back the soldiers from war who went over there to murder and kill and violate other human beings. Let's have a parade, you know. And so in the indigenous way, known, that person who went out there to protect the people was taken into a ceremony, what we call the Yanipi or Purification Lodge, and he was prayed with. They prayed with that man to help him to free himself of the imprint of violation of another human being. It was not celebrated, never celebrated. As a matter of fact, the way the warrior receives eagle feathers is to count coup, which we've talked about before, which is touching your enemy. It's not destroying your enemy. It's the bravest man who can go and touch the enemy and step away. And that's the bravest warrior. So it's a whole other thing. But you need healing from this. This is deep, and it's in your soul. It's in your spirit. The memories are cellular, and that's why they say there's PTSD, where these men who come home and have these night sweats or recall of an incident, a terrible experience where they may have killed someone or almost nearly been killed, or the violations of the horrors that they saw on the battlefield. This needs to be healed, body, mind, and spirit. And getting to our system, I always say it's the kings and queens on the hill. Nothing has changed. They're up there in their castle counting their gold, while the serfs, us, the people, are down below doing the dirty work. And they send you to war when they feel they need more money. And they'll send you, the serfs, to war. They don't care about you, your family, your grandchildren. All they care about is the money, what will elevate them higher and higher. This is what we're dealing with today, and I see this running wild because we see what's going on in Hong Kong, in France, in Chile, Venezuela. We see the people at war in the streets. Now, in some way, because we know the governments are manipulative, we know that they don't care about the people, we know the people are suffering, and we know they're taxing the people to death or raising food prices or whatever they're doing, they're controlling everything and the people suffer. So we say, yay, they're out there in Hong Kong, they're fighting their corrupt government. Yay, the people in Venezuela are out in the streets and they're fighting their corrupt government. Yay, the people in Hong Kong, they want to be free. Yay. Now, guess what? I just found out a big piece that just blew my mind. Is, you know what? There's something called the Fabian Society. There's something basically, you know, called the Civil Society 2.0. Leads to all this, what I'm talking about, leads to Soros, leads to the deep state. What would you say if I told you this plan to get everybody in the streets fighting each other, fighting their governments, was deliberate to incrementally push us into a particular time where we would basically then be put upon by our governments to bring out martial law for ultimate complete control?
I would believe it. I would believe it without question, because of the things that we've all talked about on these shows and the research and the rabbit holes that we've gone down. I would believe it.
So I was down a big rabbit hole the last couple of days, I popped that video into you about it's called the Fabian Society Signs and Symbols, and the other one is the Democrats Hydra. It's a YouTube, very in-depth study of what started a long time ago, decades ago, and then up to today, to the moment we are here, in this moment where we see all these revolutions happening, and we see the impeachment going on, and we see the Ukraine circumstance, and how all they are all linked. And I'm sitting there watching this. A lot of it I know. There was a lot that I did not know. And so just to give you an example, there is I popped this into people for people. It's the Fabian Society. It's the fish, the pentagram, and the black sun. And I remember Jordan Maxwell talking about these. These are signs and symbols of cults, secret societies, okay, throughout the whole world, okay? And this link, and I popped it in there if you guys want to look at this, but what I found fascinating here is about their step-by-step, and I know I've said this before, that this has been a plan for millennia going on, and what it is, it's an incremental, slow, step-by-step moving us, societies throughout the world, into where they want us, what they want us, how they want us to be. It all sounds good because we're talking about, helping everybody and all, and rights for everyone and stuff, but the Fabian Society is not about that, nor is George Soros, nor is Clinton's Civil Society 2.0 and other things. It's not about the people. It's about them. It's about their basically construct of the socialism. It's called Principles of Democratic Socialism by Gradualist and Reformist Effort in All Democracies. Okay? This is what's happening. It's been happening. It's what's happening in this moment in our time. It is a controlling factor of basically of our lives, our minds, and inciting riot, inciting division, inciting disunity, inciting anger and violence and hate. This is their plan. This isn't by random, suddenly everybody starts getting riled up. And this is a plan, a big plan, a dark plan, and we are in the middle of it, and it's pretty freaking me out in a way. I've known this, I've realized this, and now I've got another piece that it's, again, there's a methodology here. It's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. And Stephen said that's, yes, wolf in sheep's clothing. So he must know about this Fabian Society. Stephen out there on our link here on People for People. So you have people high up in high places, authors, artists, political people that have been involved in these societies all along with, with who we know today. So I just wanted to say that we are in the mix right now, and I kind of feel like I wish everyone could really watch or would really take the time to watch this Democrats Hydra. I'm gonna pop this in for you guys. This is worth a watch, and it is an eye opener, and very important for us today, who want to know the truth, who want to be empowered, and who really want to figure out what can we do, what has really been going on. It's a long documentary. A breakdown of everything that's been going on for decades puts it right up to this moment in time, like I said, this very moment here today.
If somebody doesn't mind, they pop that chat over, or that video as well, over there in the Super Chat room, if I try to open it right now to start playing on this, but...
Now, I will say, it is in the beginning of this video, it starts way back, in the beginning of the Fabian Societies, it starts with the whole... manner of these particular elite people beginning to control the system and how they're doing it. and it comes up, like I said, to today. If you want to cut through the beginning, you can probably start somewhere around 49 minutes. Then it brings you right to this moment in our time. I think this is one of the most powerful, important videos that I have watched. And regardless of who is presenting it, the facts are real. You'll see that the facts, there are documents, there are photographs, and this is what you want. One thing that, and then the person who's putting this together is Glenn Beck. And it's, I don't know if you know about Glenn Beck, but he was also attacked. He was attacked by the leftists because he's outspoken and he's speaking truth to things. So, you know, this, I wish everyone could watch this. And one thing he said, and I totally agree, he said, you have to have the documents before you make a decision. You have to see proof before you make a determination about where you're standing in these days and time. You have to have the documents, the proof of everything before you make a statement, before you stand on one side or the other, or wherever you're going to stand, even in the middle. And this is true. In other words, what he's saying and what I'm saying is today, and we've talked about this, the mainstream media and the politicians that speak to you face to face will tell you what they want you to know and how they want you to act, where they want you to stand. But if they don't give you the proof in documents and you've checked those, fact-checking the documents, therefore what I'm saying is the research is very important, and you can find anything out there that will give you the truth, but you do have to research. And wouldn't you want to know the truth? Don't you want to know why we have been at war since 1776 all these years, wars that we never, where we never should be? You know, the death of our families, friends, families, parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren. Don't you want to know who is manipulating us, why they are doing this, what is truth and what is not? And we see we are in a political arena throughout the whole world right now that is incrementally moving us towards something, and we really have to pay attention to what is that? What's that final solution? And we're really talking about the one world order breaking down. This civil society 2.0 is really indoctrinating young people. Now, they're hitting colleges. They're hitting young people today, a lot of young people, to get them into basically empowered into controlling and revolution. And they're making it really easy for them to be angry, to be violent about the system, to take down our Constitution. The whole, it's written in some of these documents, their plan is basically to restructure the constitution of different countries. Now, the other thing is about the white supremacy is part of this plan, is part of the takedown of our life, of society, the reshifting of everything. Now, you know, I have spoken about the patriarchy in the world that has dominated and ruled pretty much, which has pretty much ignored, deliberately ignored and left out the sacred feminine. Now, the patriarchy has nothing to do with the sacred masculine. Those people in that patriarchy dominator rule, the rulership, the elite, they're not sacred people. There's nothing to do with that sacredness. These people, I would say sometimes they are really not human, okay? So what I'm looking at here is the demise, the slow demise, incremental demise of the sacred masculine, what that really means, and of the sacred feminine, what that really means, okay? Because we cannot have peace in the world, or even within ourselves, when we are pitted against each other. Now I'm talking about woman against woman, man against man against woman. And this is part of the plan, is really to destroy what is sacred, you, me, our fellow humans, sacred, and to pit us against each other through hate and violence and wars and so on. This is what's happening. This is all a plan. This is not random, is what I'm saying. There's no coincidences. This is a plan, and it's a big plan. It's a worldwide plan, and it's been going on for generations and generations and generations. And And our eyes, we need to take the rose-colored glasses off right now, people. Because this is a serious moment. We talk about the spiritual battle that we are in, and it's real. This is not made up. This is not just words I'm saying. This is very real. It is a spiritual battle. It's a battle also for you about your children and your grandchildren and the coming generations that you, you know, want to bring into the world, your children and so on, to live in a way, in a good way that Creator was, you know, really meant for us as human beings to live. There's an outside faction here. They are not in the sacred circle. There's a demonic outside faction who basically, I say, sold their souls to the devil, you know, and their purpose is basically, as you would say, well, who is it that would want to destroy God's creation? Okay, I'm going to use that term. Well, we know the story of the fallen angel who hated God, wanted to be God, basically, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call it, does not matter, who fell out of that because wanted to be controlled, wanted to have the control and be God. But what this really means is there's a dark and a light. So I'm not touting that this is bad, the dark and light, because we all have a dark and a light side, yin-yang, dark, light, positive, negative. I'm talking about evil. Evil and light, or evil and divinity, or evil and something sacred. Okay, so there's a faction here that is, I guess, set out, created to destroy. And we are here in the middle, you know. So, anyway, I feel your deep, feeling, your deep emotion here, and your deep sadness and sorrow. And I'll tell you, I've been there, because everything is at stake here. The people we love, our children, our grandchildren, these are people we love, and they have been basically lied to. We've been lied to, sent to wars that we never, ever should have been sent to. Never, ever. But it's for some purpose, group of people's purpose, right? Not ours.
There's also another aspect to this deal. If you go look up post 9/11 soldiers as opposed to, you know, veterans from, you know, prior wars back there. Keep in mind, all of the wars were bad. That's not what I'm saying here. But the the way that people are desensitized. The words in one of the videos that I happened to watch, they said that the modern day soldier, and I'm not trying to offend anybody who went to Iraq or Afghanistan, I'm just repeating what I heard about how they're more perverted and the morals has changed, and it's not like talking to an old veteran, you know, from back in the day. You know, I talked about one time they did a study about World War One and World War Two about soldiers that came back with as much ammunition as they left with, means that they never fired a shot on the battlefield because they were taught by their families in those days that war was wrong and that killing people was wrong. And you know, they had some sort of belief system, but the modern day soldier, the way that they're trained, even the law enforcement, they train them with silhouettes instead of, you know, bullseye targets, and so you get used to shooting at a silhouette and to look at a person, you know, some distance away from you, you don't look at it as a real person anymore, you look at it as a target. And so with that said, and all the ways that media has glamorized, you know, war and demonized other, you know, people in the world, you know, such as the supposed terrorist. And when we talk about wars, we're not just talking about wars out there on the actual battlefield where, you know, two armies come together and fight amongst each other. They have other wars out there that they fight as well. Wars on drugs, wars on women, wars on men, wars on poverty, and they glamorize all this, you know. When you say a war against poverty means, you know, you're out there fighting for the good of people and you're going to end poverty, but that's not what it's all about. It's never been about that. And it's profitable to go to war. Every time these people go to war, they make so much money, and it's not their children that they're sending, it's your children. It's your children on the battlefield killing other children out there. And I say children, we know that most military are 18 years and up, but to me, as old as I am and as old as you are, Barbara, they are children. They're just young. They're just getting started with life. And when they come back and, there's a change of the modern day veteran, with exception of, I'm not saying that all of them are like that, but there are those that come back and it's a glory thing, like you mentioned about the parade earlier. It's, hey, I went to war, or we fought the bad guy, and so on down the line. But other people come back because of maybe the way that they were raised, and they have remorse, they have PTSD,
Well, that's not allowed. You have to cover that up. But
their body left the battlefield, but their mind still rages on. They never.
Exactly. Well, you think about, let's give them a parade. Everybody likes a parade. Let's get the people to feel good, So you have men and women coming back with missing limbs, or their minds are gone, or whatever it is. Let's give them a parade, so everybody will be okay. We'll give them a big parade, a ticker tape parade. They'll all be happy, and they'll all go about their business, and we can just go back to our think tanks and plan the next war, So that's what we're looking at. That's kind of evil type thinking. It's a big stretch for a lot of people to think that our government or people in high places could actually think that way. Unfortunately, I've learned over these many years there are people that think that way. And, we all talk about the conspiracy theory, right? You've heard us say conspiracy theory, conspiracy wackadoodles and so on. Well, do you know that actually was formed? Now, listen to this. Just in the... So, 2 days ago was the date that President John F. Kennedy, November 22nd, 1963, was when he was murdered, assassinated, okay? And this was a pivotal moment in our history, for sure. I mean, I think the whole world was stunned and shocked, but especially here in... in 1963, I was 20 years old. I'll never forget that. I was in the kitchen, and I had the TV on, and I'll never forget that. I felt like the world had dropped beneath my feet, free fall. And I was very suspicious of this. And today we know that this was an inside assassination, just like we're learning about 9/11 and various other things that we have been lied to about, but so here's how this conspiracy theory, the term, began. So it was in direct response to inconvenient questions around Kennedy's assassination that the CIA weaponized the term conspiracy theory, a thought-stopping ad hominem attack intended to disarm truth seekers that are challenging the crimes that a controlled media and government failed to thoroughly investigate. That's what we're looking at. You see, this is basically an attack. The CIA weaponized the term conspiracy theory, which was intended to disarm truth seekers. Now, you have a government system here that figured out to hide the truth. So our citizens, we want to destroy these truth seekers that are challenging our crimes. So we will use this term, conspiracy theory. They thought this up. They weaponized this term. Now, anytime somebody says something that's a little outside of whatever the normal mainstream media is presenting, you will turn to them. People will turn to them and say, what are you, a conspiracy nutcase? Oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. So it's on people's lips. It's been imprinted and impregnated into the minds, indoctrinated into society's minds. for anything that questions authority is considered a conspiracy theory, and that's really bad. You're a nutcase. You're a wackadoodle. Nobody will listen to you then. That's exactly what the CIA wanted to happen. Right?
Yep. It's mind-blowing what they'll do to stay in power. There's a disability statistics deal out there, and if you go look at it, it's at I'll just post a link on the super chat room, but you'll see like a percentage of how many disabled veterans that there are in the 50 states listed down here on the page, and it's mind-blowing. It's just,
well, I'm looking today at this impeachment debacle, the Ukrainian debacle, and everything. I'm looking at, because here we are today, and knowing what I know, and looking at that video that I sent you guys, just, you know, put it up, the Democracy Hydra, or the Democrats Hydra, and also the Fabian Society Signs and Symbols. There is another one, the deep state coup, CIA killed JFK, right? Okay, so knowing what I know, and this additional piece that I just found in the last day, pretty much many hours of rabbit holing lots of carrots, I had mentioned to you people that I'm in the middle here on the fence about Trump. I see some of the good things he's doing. I see the deep state and what they're doing. I see the plan. I see this long-term plan that I talked about with the Fabian Society and Soros and Clinton. And we've talked about this stuff to you guys over and over again, right? And now I realize I've just stepped over the line. And I realize that this is so dark, this is so deep and so evil, what is going on. And that I'm at this point now where I feel like it is crucial that people get this information and know what is the plan here about taking our Constitution incrementally away and really eliminating the freedoms that we have. We're very privileged here in this country, and people are now being told that this is not a country of privilege, this is not a good country. And I'm not saying it's perfect. But you can vote here. You have a right to vote. Well, you did have a right to vote without being attacked. That's changed, and that's part of the plan. You know, this is a freedom to vote. Now our voting, you know, is not real.
The whole concept of democracy in itself is it's like some sort of hidden secret in itself, because if you give the people of United States the illusion that they have a voice by using that word democracy, you know, we all have a voice, and through our representatives we can get things done. Well, you can try to keep control over that, but if you ever give the world, all these people, the same people, that illusion that there is no choice.
Why do people want to come to the United States? I mean, why don't we all want to go to Russia? Why aren't we all breaking through the borders of, you know, Ukraine, Russia?
Yeah, well, the thing about it is that
everybody wants to come to the United States? You have to ask that question. But I have to, as a citizen here and someone who has observed things over many years and finally come to the realization that our government is a lie, that the voting machine has been corrupted.
Well, they even stole the form of government that we were supposedly given by that Constitution. The United States has never been a democracy. It's been a representative republic, and that's one of the terms that they use so often in order to destabilize everyone, because if you think you have a choice...
Well, they're not done. Shaziz, they're not done destabilizing this country and the world, other countries. You see, we see the destabilization going on right now in Chile, okay, and also in other countries. We see the destabilization. This is a big plan. This is not just a group of people over here. This is a worldwide plan. That's why they call it the deep state. That's why they call it the cabal, the elite. Okay? This is this is not just a one-off. This has been going on, and they're in process now of destabilizing all these countries, plus the United States even more now. That's their incremental step-by-step plan that they've been working on for generations, and here we are today.
Yep.
We're in serious trouble, and I think that the reason Trump has been attacked is because he was not a politician. He was not in their arena. He basically, and these are the things he said, nobody owns me. And all these accusations against him, you will find out, and Patty and I have said this, he's clean. He's as clean as a peach on a tree. He is very clean. They can't find anything on him. They've been trying, and they've been setting up lies and various other things against him, but you will find in the end, mark my word right now, he will not be impeached. And President Trump, Donald Trump, there are things that are coming out that will just blow your mind. And there's this incremental movement towards that, and all these players are being played. And all this whole Ukraine thing is a LARP. And they are desperate. And when you are desperate, when you have held control and position for millennia, and when somebody steps in, basically, or the people start to awaken, that's us.
Yep.
When the people start to awaken, you will be attacked. Things will get dark for you, and you will be attacked to shut you up. And this is what's happening here all across the board. So, to me, I still have to go to this is an awesome time that we are here. We have an opportunity to create and manifest the world that we really, truly want. When you're awakened, when you're smart, and when you see both sides, and I'm saying both sides here are involved, and when you see our innocent participation because we believed one side or the other, and it is innocent participation because we've been indoctrinated to believe this party or that party. When you sign up to a party, and this is that plan, let's get everybody to commit to a party. And when you commit to a party, hell or high water, you're on that party. My party's the party. They're the truth. They're telling the truth. They are the ones, and that's it, period. No questions, no critical thinking. There you are. You're stuck in your party. Okay? That's. I'm not within any party. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm a humanist. Okay? I love people. I love this world, this country, and I think together we're the ones that really need to stand in unity and fight this evil that's in both parties, and it is in both parties, and it's across the world. Okay, this is where I'm standing.
That's why I like that deal about what the grasshopper talking to the ants right there, because it basically explains it all in the simplicity that these people, they rely on us fighting each other because they know that the day that the curtain comes down, so to speak, that when all the people stand up and say, you know, we're done with this stuff, you guys are nuts, and they'll lose their power. And, you know, and that's why they do to us what they do. And with the parties, the two-party system like you're talking about there, they're the right wing, left wing, it doesn't matter. They're connected to the same doggone bird, but that is a tool that's used as leverage in order to keep power for the elitist of the world, because as long as they are battling back and forth, you know, and giving the, you know, the bread and circus, so to speak, the illusion of you got a choice or you have freedom, then everything's all hunky-dory, you know. They can stay in power. They can just say, oh, well, you know, the other guy wants to steal Granny's walker and Grandpa's wooden leg and so on down the line. You know, but they do this. They've been doing this. They're creatures of habit. But when it comes down to the truth of the matter, the average Joe out there doesn't want to go to war. The average Joe out there is sick and tired of his war weary. And we've been...
Well, they're not listening to the people, are they?
No.
They were voted in, and they're supposed to listen to what the people want. They're not listening. They haven't been listening. They don't give a crap.
That's
Once
it.
They get into power,
That's the truth.
They'll do what they want to do.
You pointed it out. You said it. That's the nail right on the head. They don't care. They don't care. They want to stay in them seats of power. I said before, I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. And the system has become so incredibly corrupt.
Well, it's become too big, and that's part of the plan. The government system is oversized, beyond oversized, and it's dirty. Okay, and this is what we have to look at too.
The thing is, it's the money behind the scenes. It's the doggone money behind the scenes that is buying and selling all these wars.
Yeah.
You realize they have advertising campaigns in order to get people patriotic enough to go join what they like to call a voluntary service these days. So you get to certain people that are patriots, and they'll come join the deal, and they'll be shipped overseas, and they'll fight with people that are wars that aren't even constitutionally based, and then they come back and they're devastated. Some of them come back these days and they're fine with it because
they can't function. Their
mentality of the way that society glamorizes it now.
Well, it's not just now. I remember as a girl in the 40s, late 40s and 50s, we would go to the movies down the street, and there were always these newsreels, right? And it was about World War II. You know, I was born in 1942, and so then you have these movies, these advertisements about how to become a soldier, how glorious that was, and what war looked like. You know, it's like a movie. It's exciting. They focus on all this drama, this excitement, and so on and so forth, and the hero aspect, and so on. I mean, they're pushing war is a beautiful thing. War is a good thing. War is empowering to you. You know, well, you can get a college education, go to war, but then you're indoctrinated and you're brainwashed, and you leave there like somebody else. You were in the service. You know what they did to you.
Oh, yeah. Their job is to, when you first get there, is to break you down. And I mean, they want to break your spirit. They want to break everything about you being an individual and then make you a team, make you a soldier, you know, a warrior.
They wanted to eliminate your critical thinking. They want to eliminate your compassion and your love and your morals.
But the problem is that there are many, many, many soldiers out there that they never built back up. They broke them down. They never built them back up.
Oh, they don't want to build them back up. I mean, then they want to release them out into society to create havoc in society. That's part of the plan. Do you think I'm out of my mind? Do you think I'm a conspiracy wackadoodle?
No, I don't.
Because I'm saying the military, the government, the plan is basically to set these people who have been to war, who have been indoctrinated and broken down, to renew them and to heal them. No, they want to send them out into society to continue the insanity.
And they don't care. The folks selling the dope to people, they don't care whether it's a suffering veteran that's out there destroying his body with drugs. They don't care. They're making money off of it. They're making money.
Because you know what? Evil does not care. Evil does not care. Evil is not kind. Greed is evil. So these people who have the big money, the elite, and trust me, these people in politics in every part of the world, they live in mansions, you guys.
Yeah.
They go where they want to go. They have everything they want, and they give it to their children. These children are privileged. They give them everything they want. Their children don't go to war. If they go, then they're like, what are they? The top people who stand back and tell you what to do. Yeah, go to the front over there. I'll stay back here and I'll watch and make sure everything's fine. I'll direct you.
It's crazy because if you actually go back and look through history, there were basically gentleman wars, so to speak, duel.
That's exactly right.
They were all, the leader would go in first. He'd take the charge, but after a while they started realizing that war was changing, and now the leaders would be way at the back telling everybody else to charge.
Yeah, exactly. Very different. But, you have what so recently people I saw were screaming and all upset because Trump was basically disengaging his system from the NATO. But we have the globalization of NATO and the UN. We have all these systems that have been put in place by you know, the elite for a purpose, for a reason. And he's eliminating them. He's stepping away from them, and people are screaming at him because they're told to scream at him because, oh my gosh, he's crazy, he's nuts, he's this, he's that, he's against democracy, he's against the country. And all this is part of their plan to break down, you know, our society, basically, and to eliminate incrementally our rights and our constitutional rights. You see it, the war against the Second Amendment. You see it, the war against free speech, the war against, well, now you're all surveilled. You know, we're all under surveillance. Then we're all conspiracy nutcases. If you speak against your government in China, guess what? You're arrested and you're put into prison and even tortured. We're not there yet, but they've got your number. If you're talking about, if you stand up and say, I don't agree with what's going on, well, you're tagged as, you know, a troublemaker or a terrorist. This is the whole plan.
I'm going to post something in the chat room that's worthy of taking a peek at. This kind of throw another log on the fire, so to speak, as far as what we're talking about. But are you familiar with? Let me read this section. This little phrase here. Are you familiar with the privatization of war?
Well, this is
a little short deal. It says the U.S. military recourse to private contractors has strengthened the profit motive for war, yep. Making a prolonged war as prolonged wars as well. Unlike the citizen soldier of the past, there is mobilized warriors, corporations of America, new mercenaries, moment the Halliburton,
yeah, the Black Ops,
yeah. So there are actually soldiers of fortune out there who get paid really well to go into, you know, basically fight, destabilize, and so on.
Well, I remember reading several years ago about some black ops in Syria. Now, this was before Syria came onto the map. There was no war in Syria. There was none of that stuff going on, and Syria was sort of like outside the sphere of what was going on there in the Middle East. And I saw this documentary on these people who were doing this research, and they were talking to citizens there, indigenous people there in Syria, who were saying that their people were being killed, that these people, these men came and they were all dressed in black and so on. They weren't U.S. soldiers. They didn't know who they were. Well, guess what? They were black ops, and they were in there setting up this whole system, getting ready for where we are today in relation to Syria. So in the Democrats Hydra that I popped in that link, you will find all the answers and all the documents about what Shaz and I are talking about. It's all in there, this black ops, you know, that our military decided to create this black operations of military outside the government's military, so that the government's military, so that they in higher up positions would not be blamed. In other words, the black ops people don't belong to anybody. They're private. These are private military people.
Yeah.
Right?
There's a deal about the Boston bombing, if you look into it, about one of these mercenary style groups going in there doing some things, and so I can't remember what the name of that group was. I'll have to look it up, but, you know.
Do you want to read this?
Yeah, go ahead.
So here's the link. Chaz just put in 7 reasons America is stuck in never-ending war. And this was launched immediately after the 9/11 attacks, okay? This person who's writing this, he was apparently in the military. He was almost, this almost immediately became known as the Global War on Terror. And the Pentagon insiders called it the Long War, an open-ended, perhaps unending conflict against nations and terror networks, mainly as a radical Islamist bent. Okay, naming this radical Islam. It saw the revival of counterinsurgency doctrine is buried in the aftermath of defeat in Vietnam and a reinterpretation of that disaster as well. So over the years, its chief characteristic became ever clever as Groundhog Day kind of repetition. Just when you thought it was over, like Iraq and Afghanistan, just after victory of a sort was declared, then it began again. Yeah, we see that. Now, as we find ourselves enmeshed in Iraq War 3.0, Zero, what better way to memorialize the post 9/11 American way of war than through repetition? So back in July 2010, I wrote an article for Tom Dispatch on the seven reasons why America can't stop making war. So more than 4 years later, with the war on terror still ongoing, and with the mission eternally unaccomplished, here's a fresh take on the top seven reasons why never-ending war is the new normal in America. Now, who was the one, basically? It was 9/11, basically, that set us out on the war on terror. Who was president then, you guys?
Bush. Bush, I think.
Yes. So, number one.
That word that I was looking for, that group of Blackwater, U.S.-controlled Blackwater mercenaries known as Kraft.
Yeah. So we have, number one is the privatization of war. So what is that? It's the U.S. military's recourse to private contractors. What this has done is it strengthened the profit motive for war making and prolonged war as well. Okay, so this is about America's mercenary moment. You know, yeah, the Holly Burton, you know who that is.
Yep.
Holly Burton, this man is creepy. I can't take this man. But so you're talking nearly $40 billion in contracts for the Iraq war alone. We're talking big money here, people, on lives, your family's lives, your sons and daughters' lives. Right? Then you have the DIN Corp, $4.1 billion to train 150 Iraqi police and the Blackwater. You have $1.3 billion in Iraq, along with boatloads of controversy. It goes on and on and on. And so now you have number two. What is this? It's the embrace of the national security state by both major parties. And so here's when this happened. Jimmy Carter was the last president to attempt to exercise any kind of control over the national security state. Okay, so that didn't work. You know, he was the last one, basically, to try that. But so then you have the what happened was there was a turn to the right by the Democrats in the Clinton years, served as a temporary booster shot when it came to change of being soft on defense until Republicans upped the ante by going all in on military crusades in the aftermath of 9/11. So then you have number three, support our troops as a substitute for thought. This is so brilliant. Look at this. Support our troops, right? Patriotism. This is a substitute for thought. I'm going to say for critical thinking. I'm going to add that right. Support our troops stickers. This is the same thing. We're going to give a ticker tape parade to the returning men and women who just went over there and shot up some other countries and shot up some innocent people. And let's give them a ticker tape parade. And if you don't stand with us, if you don't support our troops, if you're not, you know, standing with us there, then you're a traitor. You're not an American. So there you go. No thinking, no critical thinking. This is where we are in that mindset. That's a deliberate. So here four, fighting a redacted war. That's another one. The act of going to war no longer represents the will of the people. Does it? No. Not. Just saying. So, instead of Americans were told to go to Disney World. Remember that? As George Bush suggested in the wake of 9/11, he said, go to Disney World and keep shopping. I'll never forget that. Do you remember that?
Oh, no, I must have missed it, but it don't surprise me any
at
all.
Basically, this was the brainwashing, encouraging people not to pay attention to the war's casualties and the war's cause. Just go shop. He said that. He stood there and said, go out and shop. Go to Disney World while they were in basically taking us to war. Then you have number five, threat, an inflation threat. There's nothing new about threat inflation. Basically, you know, it's like, I guess that's like inflation in our system.
Well,
yes.
Everything from food to fuel to just the average cost of living, you know, all of this is connected. Every single bit of it's connected to, you know, the supposed economy, and it always the threat of going to crash, and terrorists behind every bush, and so on down the line. It's all connected. And the ones paying the price are the average Joe just trying to survive. You know?
Well, this writer, this military person who was a lieutenant in the Air Force, he says, I found myself contemplating the very real possibility of a thermonuclear exchange with the Soviet Union, a war that would have annihilated life as we knew it, indeed much of life on our planet, thanks to the phenomenon of the nuclear winter. He says, you'll excuse me for not shaking in my boots at the threat of ISIS coming to get me or of Sharia law coming to my local town hall. With respect to such fears, America needs, as Hillary Clinton said in an admittedly different context, grow a pair. So it's like these threats, these fears that they keep planting in our minds, you know. And so number six is defining the world as a global battlefield. And this is what they're doing. So number seven is the new normal in America is war. And that's the 9/11 attacks happened more than 13 years ago, which means that no teenager in America can truly remember a time when our country was at peace. Wartime is their normal. Peace is a fairy tale.
Yeah, and that would probably explain why most of the dang youth of the day are so jaded against the world. They don't want any part of anything anymore. Even when it comes down to, I hate using the word religion because it's just I don't like that word because it sounds neither. It's neither.
Well, because people get bent out of shape, and I have to say people's ire gets up because you're talking about okay. And you know what? What would you say if along with every other plan to take down our Constitution, to create gender confusion, to eliminate morals and so on, that that's all part of the plan to keep us in war?
Well, I would agree.
And it's so this but the it, term, what but I'm sure. not, so I have to say, I am against organized religions.
Well,
you
so,
know I've
so
said
am
that.
I. But the thing that I was trying to get to, though, is that these youth, they're so basically against. It's like, I'm trying to figure out the proper words to use to say what I'm wanting to say without trying to make a mess. But they have been basically demonized away from anything to do with God or morals or
morals, because that's the plan, is to eliminate morals in all societies.
Why would God allow a baby to starve to death? That's their explanation.
God doesn't allow a baby to starve to death. It's basically the system that is, you know, is creating this, and we're all part of the system, right? I'm just saying, why don't we have free energy? Well, that's part of the plan, too. So we don't have free energy, so we're reliant on the system.
Yep.
This is all a plan. It's like a mad scientist has taken over the whole world.
Yeah.
And I don't mean you. I wish you were taking over the whole world.
Well, I would say probably an evil...
an evil mad scientist.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of them. So I hate to keep pointing to the fact that everything that we see that is wrong, that is, you know, freaking people out, so on, is part of their plan. But it's true. So what are we going to do about it? This is where we are today. We see these facts. We see these truths here. So it's in our face, if you're interested. I mean, many people aren't interested. They're not. But again, to get back to what you were saying before, so it's about the morals to me. It's about goodness.
Yep.
It's about kindness. So that doesn't come into the equation here. So people have said God is dead. You know, I mean, they've written books about God is dead. Well, I say in a lot of ways they're right. Okay, but to me it's what that represents. Goodness, kindness, compassion, love, unity, you know, truth. To me, this represents God, if you want to use the term, creator, you know, great spirit. This represents the moral compass of where we need to get back to. The moral compass is key. How can we be in peace? How can we find peace, create peace, and manifest peace if there's no love, if there's no compassion, no kindness?
Yeah.
It's just gone.
Well, there was a story about John Lennon way back in the day. He got himself in trouble because he said that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus, but I don't think that's
well, he's
what.
Right.
I don't think that's what he was trying to say.
I think so too.
In the sense that they actually thought themselves to be better than. What I think was that it's a change in society when, you know, a rock band becomes more popular. You know, less people in church, so to speak, or whatever. More people at the rock concert. And the farther you get forward in history, it seems like that's even more than when the Beatles were even around. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Well, again, this is incremental. This has been decades here that there has been this step-by-step tearing down of the moral compass of humanity.
Yeah, breaking up
right
the family.
From wrong. Yeah, so this is the part of the big plan, because evil has a plan. The plan basically is to destroy what is sacred. I have to keep repeating that. I'm not going to apologize, because that's the way I really feel strongly. Is something evil. I don't care what you call it, because it's outside something good. So to me, what is not good, what is not kind, what is not compassion, what is not about love and life, is evil. It just makes sense to me.
Yeah, it does. It does to me
and
as
so,
well.
So people, why do people get uncomfortable when you speak about God or Jesus? Why is that? Because it's indoctrination. Because what you're really saying and what I'm really saying is goodness, kindness, compassion, and love. Simple, right?
Yeah.
And if you want to say, well, who said that? Well, then you have to say, well, that's what Jesus' teachings. I don't believe in Jesus.
I even take it to the Ten Commandments. If you just read them just as guidelines or whatever, you know, thou shalt not kill. There's a good reason not to kill. All right, thou shalt not steal. You know, it's all these different.
Thou shalt not covet somebody else's wife. Let's put it the other way. Thou shalt not covet somebody else's husband either.
Yeah. But the thing is that, you know, those are at least everybody, even if they're non-believers in a higher power, should be able to agree that those are good guidelines to live by. So, you know, the golden rule, you know, do no harm or whatever.
Yeah, but it's so much fun. It's so much fun. It's exciting. It's it's like, wow.
Now the golden rule. Now the golden rule pretty much moved to he who has the gold makes the rules, and the rules that they're making aren't for them. They're for the oppression of the people.
You're coveting someone else's wife. You're meeting in the dark alleyway. Wow, that's fun, isn't it? Woo!
Yeah,
that's fun.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Watch the shows today. Watch all the shows. They glamorize people getting married and divorced. I mean, they're changing partners like they're changing hats, like it ain't no big deal. Back in the day, it was kind of like, you know, people wouldn't want to tell everybody, hey, you know, I got a divorce, you know. They didn't want to tell people stuff like that. You know, they didn't want to put their personal and family business out there for...
What do they say? Don't air your dirty laundry.
Yeah.
Right? So, the thing is that, listen... Like I said, I'm against organized religion because this is the way I feel. I truly feel this. I've come to realize this myself, that I have my own relationship with my Creator, Great Spirit, is mine. You can't take that away from me. Nobody stands in front of me, no man in a dress. And I have to say it over and over again because that's really what it is. It's a man in a dress who's dressed up in a dress. And then you want to go further with the Pope and various other of these men, these patriarchy, who are dressed in all these gold necklaces and various other things, and these weird hats and the fish hat and the pine cone and all these stuff as symbols. These symbols represent something that is not good. No man in a dress stands between me and my Creator. I'm basically, that's my source. That's what created me.
Yeah.
So now somebody's going to stand in front of me and say, look, little girl, this is the way you're supposed to pray, and you have sinned, and I'm going to absolve you of your sins. I'm the man that's going to do that. So go over there, kneel down, and pray 20 Hail Marys and 5 Our Fathers and genuflect 50,000 times, and then you'll be saved from hell. That's insane.
It's mind-blowing.
But you are a sacred child, Chaz. You and everybody else, we're sacred beings. We have a spirit embodied within us. That's the Holy Spirit, if you want to say it that.
Well, the book did say, you know, I know people hate the book, but the book did say that we were created in God's image, so, you know.
Well, I have to say, why do people hate this book so much? I feel the book is written by man, and there's interpretations here. Now, what I do is I pick out the things that feel right to me in my heart spirit, and that is mostly the commandments. Everything else in that book, it's a lot of words, it's a lot of this, it's a lot of that, he said, she said, whatever. Take the commandments out of that book, okay? It doesn't matter. Find a hidden in a leaf underneath a tree. It's the same thing. Being a human being is living life in a good way. You're the only one that's going to have to answer when you're gone to whomever, if there's ever anything. But you have a conscience.
Yeah.
What's your conscience telling you, you know? If you have a conscience, I mean, some people, I guess you could say, well, greedy people, evil people don't have a conscience. That's why they're able to do what they do. But why are people so adverse to certain things that may be good? Like, you know, so what you're saying is there are good words in that particular book. Find what is good. It's kindness. It's compassion. It's love.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't have to believe in the book or read the book. It makes common sense, you know, to be a kind person, to be a loving, good person, because you're teaching your children. Is that, how do you want your children to be? How do you want your life to be?
Well, I think that when children are born, they're born with a purity, and they don't have all that, you know, hate and discontent that it's taught. I honestly believe that.
I believe that too. You're not born with prejudice. You're not born with hateful thoughts. That comes. That's a training. That's an indoctrination. It's really a powerful thing.
Why would they want to do that to all the children that are born? Why would they want to, from the time that they're born, constantly push them in a direction away from anything that's decent, unless there was some sort of evil plan behind the scene, which we all, by now, if you don't think that there's an evil plan, you ain't been paying attention. I mean, there's so much money made at wartime, it is worthy for somebody to actually become a soldier of fortune, a mercenary, and go over there and make a whole lot of money really quickly. If as long as they survive and come back, they'll be well off. You see what I'm saying?
Well, if you were not messed with, let's say there wasn't that system, if you were not messed with and you're born and you had healthy parenting, in other words, nobody was messed up, and you had healthy parenting, and you knew yourself as a sacred being, and you knew the power of love and light, if you knew the wisdoms, the ancient wisdoms of your gifts and who you really truly are, that would be a whole other world. You would not want to go to war then. You would have critical thinking about that. You would determine, well, okay, I want to know why we are going over there. What? Give me the reasons, the real reasons. And you have to look at that person who's telling you, go over there and murder other people. If you were a person who were truly in your spirit nature and one with your creator, you would know that other person that they're asking you to go over there to murder is a spirit being just like you, a sacred being just like you. Doesn't matter their color or whatever, their culture. They are creator's children. But if you don't know that, if you've been indoctrinated to hate yourself and loathe yourself, then you loathe and hate others. If you've been indoctrinated that person in that color is a bad person or not a good person, or that person with that religion is evil or whatever it is, if you are indoctrinated, brainwashed through this system, You will readily and willingly go to war and murder other people and then come home damaged, and your government will ignore you and not give a crap.
Well, the bad thing about it is I listen to some of these veterans out there. I listen to some of the older ones and some of the newer ones, but some of the older ones, they said that they felt bad for the person that they shot or had to kill or whatever. And then some of the younger ones would say that, you know, if you want to go home, you do what you have to do to ensure that it's them and not you. And so you're actually put in a situation to where you want to go home, all right? You want to go back to your family, and you're not going to want to die, so you're going to do whatever you have to do. But if they weren't ever put in that situation, they wouldn't have had to do that, and chances are they probably would not have done that. You see what I mean? It's...
Yeah, I mean, the thing that gets me is how brainwashed people are. I see people put up notices about, let's celebrate our veterans. So, yeah, we should celebrate our veterans, but I always pop in a little note, our veterans should be home, although we shouldn't have sent them someplace.
Yeah.
Let's end war. Not let's celebrate our veterans. Let's end war.
That would be the best go right there, just
so,
to end
yeah,
it all.
People don't go that far. They'll show a veteran with his legs missing, and they'll say, "Well, this guy gets some applause or some likes on Facebook. Let's celebrate our veterans." And I say, "What?" I said, "You know, basically, my reply is this man should never have been sent to some other country to lose his legs."
What about celebrating the average person that's at home doing things, keeping the home lights burning, so to speak, you know, and there to pick up the pieces when their fallen soldiers come back home? What about those folks? There's a lot of people who lost their sons and daughters and brothers and sisters in things that, you know, the war didn't stop just because the men came home. The war, you know, the damage of what happened, you know, the people, the suffering, it continued into the family. You brought that home with you. You brought that battlefield in your mind, and you can't get it out of your head. And in the process, it tears your family apart.
Well,
they
like
talk
I
about
said, that's the plan.
Statistics of divorce, statistics of suicide, fighting, drug abuse, and so on down the line, all because this one person had to go across there, and then they were forced into a situation where they did things that normally a human wouldn't even consider.
Well, so Gaz says soldiers put themselves in that situation, though, Shaz, because they sign up to the military. And then he finishes
sure
it off
they
with,
do.
I've never... Listen, he says, I've never met a boxer that doesn't want to box. I can't equate the two of these. Boxer, okay, we're talking about indoctrination into war. We're talking about generations of brainwashing, of patriotism, and the system that brainwashes people to want to go to war because they're a patriot, and we have to go over there. And they indoctrinate you and brainwash you to break down your critical thinking and even your emotions and basically your compassion when you get into that. And they send you where they want to send you because they've got interest in that country. And you go over there and you kill another person, another human being, like a robot, because you are a robot at that moment. You think you're signing up because you're a patriot for this country, because they tell you you have to be a patriot because this is the greatest country in the world, and honor your country.
Well, it's not just that. It's the fact that, you know, when you put out there that other people are suffering, good people step forward. When you see that somebody in this world is being, you know, tortured or abused or whatever, good people step forward. But
what about if I said to you that the other people over there are being abused and tortured by our own government?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't disagree, but what...
I'm not saying that their governments aren't involved, but I'm just saying
My point is that you take and try to tell somebody that, you know, the enemy's coming to get your family. The good men are going to want to stand up under the guise of patriotism and protecting
their
family.
Well, that's true, but also, so Gaz continues, this is good. He says social constructs and austerity, lack of potential, lack of hope for a future are reasons why people sign up to the military. And don't you know that the system is deliberately creating austerity, lack of potential, and lack of hope. That's the whole point.
Yeah, and
I'm making. So, yeah, these people, these young people have no hope, no place to go, and the military steps up and says, we can give you an education. We will pay you to go over there and murder people. This is wrong. Okay, so yeah, so the system is setting it up so there is lack of hope for a future, period. That's it.
And look, I didn't sign up for the military because I wanted to go hurt anyone. I didn't sign up to become a police officer because I wanted to go out and abuse anyone. I signed up because I believe that, you know, we needed to fight for freedom. We needed to fight for people's rights and safety. And I was basically, I would even go as far as to say I would be like the old warriors of the old tribes, is because they didn't want to go to war. It wasn't a glory thing. It was that a necessity thing. If you had to defend your family and it was justified, then you would do what you had to do. But I never was under the illusion that I'm going to be this really well-respected man in a uniform. And
no,
and it was
no,
that.
You weren't, but listen, I'm going to say to you that you were duped. You're a good person. These people are good people, but they were duped by our government, military industrial complex, to believe that they're going to go over there to some other country and save those people and bring democracy there. You see, this is what I'm talking about. Okay, meanwhile, our government is basically creating coup over there for these other people's leaders and putting in their own leaders that will play their game with them. And they also need the resources there. They need the whatever it is, like Halliburton going over there so he gets millions of dollars to restructure that country that our military went over there and destroyed, where we didn't have any business in being.
It's agreed. All I'm saying, I'm not trying to sound like an apologist for the warriors of the world, but the reality is that between society and the glamorization of all this kind of stuff, even down to the child playing army man, that these things were put in our heads intentionally to get us ready to go to war if, you know, the case showed up. And look, like I said, I know all the hearts of all my my grandfather, my brother, and my uncles, and all my heritage, all the people that in my past who I come from a long line of military and police and public service people, and they did it for what they believed to be the right reason.
Well, I get that, but I have to say they were duped. I can't disagree with you on that. It's a sad thing. I hate to be the carrier here of the message, but, you know, and Gaz says the military always sells it as defending our country's assets, whereas they are protecting big corporations instead, and the military-industrial complex. It's like they know in order to get more money, they need war.
Yeah. Well, that's
why. They make up this story about some country over there. And so our good people like you, like my father and so on and your people, they step up to the plate because they believe in our government. They believe our government.
Well,
this is to me.
It was the belief in freedom and justice. That's that, and this is the game that was played. It's like pulling on the heartstrings. You know, all these charities out there today do the same exact thing. They'll show you pictures of starving babies in the world, and they'll collect millions of dollars, and then you still years later, 30, 40 years down the line, after seeing these commercials all these years, you still hear about starving babies in the world. And so the war to end all wars was a joke. It didn't end nothing.
I have to say, and this is going to sound downright rotten, but I'm going to say this, and I'm not meaning to be rotten, but here's the thing. What I have learned and what I have seen about the lies and the manipulation of people all over the world, the manipulation by the mainstream media, by the government, basically they can pick out a wonderful shot a photographer. Bring the photographer over here. Take this picture over here, because we need the people's sympathy. We need the people to be terrified. We need the people under our, you know, rule. We need the people to believe us that they need to go over here to war.
Yep.
We need the people to believe that those people over there are the atrocity one. They're committing atrocities. We need to believe them that the world is ending. So take this photograph. Take this photograph. Put this out. I'm telling you, this is the level, the big possibility that is very real. And this is, to me, very evil and manipulative of our minds, of our children's minds, and the whole system.
I agree.
And I have seen this. I have seen. There was a recent a piece that just came out that the gassing of the people in Syria, remember that?
Yeah.
Assad gassed his people. Well, guess what? It just came out, I wish I had saved the link, that all of that was made up, indoctrinated, and put out by, basically, by the news media. That did not happen. That it was fake. They faked it.
Well, and that's another thing, the reason why I say the mainstream media should be held accountable for what they do to people, because if I go in a crowded theater and I shout fire, I could get jailed for that, especially if somebody gets hurt. The media can do it all day long, every day, to, you know, millions of people and get them riled up to go to war.
Yeah.
And they get by with it. They got immunity. Yeah. Even the senators and congressmen, even law enforcement, they have an immunity to, you know, what they do. You know, some of these soldiers of fortune, they know they're going to go up there, they're going to get to do things they otherwise wouldn't have been able to do legally, and they're going to get by with it. They're going to come back and live cushy lives with lots of money because they went out there and they lived out the fantasy of what you see on these first-person shooter war games and such that they glamorize to the youth.
Right, exactly. Well, I just want to go back to this while you take that little a break about the I want to get back to this Fabian Society. I'd really like you all, if you're interested, to know more about what we're talking about and the level of manipulation and the insidious brainwashing and the system. What happens? So I talked about this Fabian Society, and this particular link I gave you was about the pentagram and the black sun and the fish. And I want to refer to Jordan Maxwell, talked about when Patty and I were interviewing, oh gosh, I don't know, it's over a year now, he was talking about these signs, the symbols and the emblems, the flags, the insignia of groups under which they organize themselves, and basically the hidden messages on a global scale of what all of these represent. So scrolling down basically in regards to the Fabian Society, I just want to tell you the source of this. What their affiliates are the Labour Party, Foundation for European Progressive Studies, and so on. But this was a British socialist organization. Pay attention to these words. The Fabian Society is a British socialist organization whose purpose is to advance the principles of democratic socialism by gradually and reforming effort in democracies. Okay, so they're infiltrating and gradually reforming the efforts in democracies. Okay, this is what we're talking about. So one of the founding organizations of the Labour Representative Committee in 1900. This is how far this goes back. Okay, was the Labour Party. All these parties that seem to be like helpful or for standing for the people, you know, basically the society functions primarily as a think tank and is one of 21 socialist societies affiliated with the Labour Party. So you have similar societies exist in Australia, in Canada, okay, and you have in Sicily and so on and so forth, New Zealand. All these countries have this Fabian Society way back from the 1900s. So you have how this was established and the meaning and purpose. It was founded in 1884 in London, Yeah. It all sounds good. This is when they say civil society. Well, civil sounds, that's a good term, civil, because we want people to be civil, right? But there's an agenda behind this, because what they're doing is they're indoctrinating into colleges, and where you can't even have free speech anymore in college campuses. Our country is based and founded on free speech. That's in our Constitution, right? So, but now I'm seeing that, and there are professors and there are other persons that are speaking about the fact that you cannot go and speak at a college these days, because if you are speaking about something that these young people don't agree with, you can't talk. They have, signs. They'll be screaming at you. You can't have a conversation. There is no dialogue anymore. There's no dialogue. You are either called a racist, a homophobe, a sexist, a nationalist, a Nazi, whatever it is, isms they'll come up with. So there is no free speech, and this is part of our Constitution, but that's, like I said, incrementally they are dismantling our rights and our freedoms. That's what's going on.
The bad thing is that they're actually getting the youth of today to do the dirty work for them.
They are. That's correct.
They get these college indoctrinated kids. You would believe half of the things that these kids say and do and believe in. It's like, there was a doggone video that I saw from the Liberty Hangout where they were going in there asking people about putting feminine gear in men's room and urinals in the women's room so that everybody could be, feel included or inclusive or whatever, And look, I ain't got no problem with somebody else's lifestyle. It's your life. You live your lifestyle the way you want. Just don't harm nobody in the process. But to turn around and try to go contrary to nature and what we call normal or whatever. I don't know what's even normal anymore because everything's so blowed out of the water. But people are in fear of even speaking out against. She asked the question to these people, they didn't want to comment because they were afraid that they would be looked upon as hateful or racist or something like that. But it's an intentional plan in order to break down everyone's resolve to stand up for what they believe is right or wrong. You see what I mean? I mean, it's like every time I turn around, I'm hearing somebody call the white male a racist. Or a Nazi,
yeah.
Or whatever.
Well,
and to me personally, I'm not fully white. I got other heritage, but that's regardless because of a skin color. I'm suddenly a bad person. Whatever. And look, I get it that during history, the white man has done a lot of terrible things. Well, so has the black man. So has the yellow man. So has all the different races out there. They've all done a lot of terrible things. All right?
Yes.
But you can't say that whole entire society, because of those rotten apples in that community, were all bad people. If I would have been back during any of the big atrocities throughout America's history, I would have been on the side of the one that was helping the people get away from slavery, or helping them get to safety or like that. That's the spirit that's within me. I know this. I would have, it don't matter what point in time I showed up in, I would be exactly the spirit that I am now. And so I'm not that kind of person. Just because you look at me and you've been told that I'm a racist, a homophobe, or xenophobe, I was raised differently. I believe a man and a woman are the natural, thing. But like I said, it's your life, it's your lifestyle. You live it however you want to live it, but don't try to force that onto society. Because all you're doing is creating yet even more division, and that's why they do these things. That's why they have these isms.
They want the divisions.
The
yeah. They want the disunity.
That's it.
Well, this is an article I just popped in for you guys to check out. It's called The Intolerant Fifth. What is that? It's the Fifth Amendment. So What the title of this is, Free Speech at American Universities is Under Threat. So here's what the students were shouting at, basically at the College of William and Mary recently. It said, liberalism is white supremacy, shouted the students. Okay. There was a person there, Claire Gastagna of the American Civil Liberties Union, was looking on. So basically, the revolution will not uphold the Constitution, they chanted. The students are saying, this revolution will not uphold the Constitution. Okay?
It won't. They talk about it all the time. If you can't be free to speak the way you want, you know, here on Shazoo's Radio and People for People, we don't censor people's content or anything like that. We do ask respectfully that people don't use filthy language because words are powerful. Right? It don't matter if you say it in a funny deal or you say it in a sarcastic deal or you actually say it in anger. You take one word and you can make it a whole lot of different meanings. But for the fact that we're trying to get an honest, respectful message out to everybody, and we understand that certain words are, you know, offensive or whatever, we self-censor ourselves. We censor ourselves.
Well, that's
out of respect for others.
Well, right. We should be censoring ourselves, and we should have critical thinking. But this is difficult because this country is based on, in our Constitution, free speech. Now that means, so I guess this was about somebody there. They were saying they were a white supremacist because they were liberal. They were calling this liberal speaker a white supremacist, and they were saying this liberal person was a Nazi. They were saying Nazis don't deserve free speech. Okay, so now you know what? In our country, we're based on our Constitution is free speech. Now, this is a touchy moment here. Okay, I don't want to listen to somebody Nazi spewing off his whatevers, his policies, and so on and so forth. Well, I wouldn't go. But what do we do? Because today, this is about taking down our Constitution. Forget the fact that there might be a Nazi standing there speaking or a white supremacist. And
no,
I'm not saying
even if they just go over to the protest the Nazi, they're giving that person an audience. So the best case scenario was nobody goes over there. If there's a few people that show up, then so be it. But you don't have to go over there and listen to that stuff.
Well, so what I'm really pointing out here is this is deliberate to take down our constitutional rights. This is what we have to look at. It doesn't matter who's standing there speaking. Everyone in this country has a right to speak freely, to vote freely without being attacked or to be called a deplorable or to be called a Nazi.
Yep.
Now, I didn't vote, but now I have to say this. I have to defend what I'm talking about by saying to people out there who might attack me today that I did not vote. I have to make sure I say that. This is really a sad thing that I have to say, look, people, I did not vote. But I feel that everyone has a right to vote for their choice without being attacked or being called a Nazi, all right, or a terrorist or a homophobe or a whatever. Because that's where it is today. If you voted for Trump, you are now being called a Nazi and a sexist and a so on and so on and this.
Yeah.
That's where we've come to today. So we have a freedom to vote, a freedom of free speech. Now you're being called names, a white supremacist or a Nazi or a homophobe or a this or that.
Well,
this is
that's
about our freedoms.
They want war in the streets. They want literal war in the streets.
And tell you something, we're verging, like Chile, like Hong Kong, like Venezuela.
Yeah.
Okay, like Paris. It's over a year. The people are in the streets. We're verging close to this here.
Yeah.
In the U.S.
Because good people.
This
good
is the
people,
plan.
Good people are only going to be only going to tolerate being called Nazi for so long, and finally, you know, it's going to snap. The wrong the wrong people are going to say it to the wrong people, and it's going to snap. And once it does, that's the trigger point right there. The whole that concept of martial law, people think, oh well, our government ain't going to declare martial law. Y'all just conspiracy nuts. Well, okay, go back in time after 9/11. Look at the Patriot Act. Look at the National Defense Authorization Act. Look at all these documents. They actually do exist. And the fact that the United Nations has a say in whether or not you could actually be sent overseas to stand trial in another country ought to be a red flag. So, you know, this isn't conspiracy theory. They're actually saying these things. There's documentations out there. And so by calling you the Nazi and getting you angry, eventually when the law enforcement can't handle it anymore because the Americans have rose up against each other and their government, then guess what? Everybody who's peace-loving will be begging and pleading for the UN troops to show up on our shores and help to sort things out. It's a trap. It is a flat-out trap. And until people understand that they're being played, you can't tell this to a college-educated person these days because they don't have facts to contend with. All they got is talking points from whichever political background that they listen to or whatever. You know, so it's insane. You got multiple different genders now. You got people that are talking about marrying every single thing under the sun. You've got just total weird, just not normal things happening in today's society. And those folks out there are coming up against the other folks out there. And something's going to give. Eventually something has to give. And these folks like George Soros, and he's actually getting money from the doggone government. I never knew that until the other day.
He is getting money from our government. It's really, that was big shock, right? In a way, but not really, but... Yeah.
But his deal is, for whatever reason, destabilize the nations, for whatever his ultimate agenda, maybe he believes the ends justify the means and that we can get this one world order, this one world government that everybody keeps talking about all the time, and then, you know, peace through war kind of thing. You see what I'm saying? Order out of chaos.
I think that agenda is the one world order, the global world. The global control.
Well, who does it profit? It profits the rich, the wealthy of the world.
It profits the rich, not us.
The same people who these supposed liberal protesters out there are protesting against, they're supporting by their actions. You see what I'm saying? They hate the rich. They, right. The tax breaks are just going to the most wealthy. They hate the rich. But yet they're out there doing everything that they can to give the rich yet even more power by depleting their own constitutional rights. The Second Amendment and the First Amendment are probably the two most important, but they're not the only ones in the deal. You know, there's many other amendments that are really seriously important, but those two right there, if you can't speak out against your government, if you can't rise up in arms against a tyrannical government, then you're pretty much powerless. You try going up against the U.S. military or the law enforcement with pitchforks and knives and bats and sticks and rocks, you're going to not fare so well. And these folks that are out there in the know, so to speak, the ones that have the money to actually start the wars and pay for the advertisement to get everybody on board with going to fight the terrorism or the war on drugs or whatever, they know this. And they know that if they can get you riled up and on board or break society down, that they can take away those rights. And once you lose them, you've got to go through extremes if you could ever get it back. There's no
return. There's no return.
No.
Because I'm looking at what Marx and Lenin say. If anybody's interested, so we have, this is history, this is historic. So we know what happened in these countries, right? And I'm looking at what Marx and Lenin both say, that socialism leads to communism. Okay, these are these people who lived according to the communists. They were communists. They were talking about socialism leads to communism.
Yeah.
So now this is about the capitalist society. So we are in a capitalist society, right? So we are in the corporative capitalists, you know, we're in the elite cabal societies here. Something has to be done, but not our loss of our rights, not the takedown of our constitution, but that's where this is going. You know, we have people wanting to take down the statues of Columbus, Columbus Day, eliminating Columbus Day, eliminating statues of various other persons who had, you know, skeletons in their closet. Now they're picking on Thanksgiving. Because the Thanksgiving, you know, was not so many thanks there for the Indian people, was but this is the extreme of where we're going to. Let's eliminate all of this, all of the capitalists, the supreme, the white supremacists. So they're talking about Thanksgiving and Columbus Day as a white supremacist holidays.
Well, it sounds to me like sweeping dirt under the rug, out of sight, out of mind. And
if you don't know your history, so the generation...
That's it.
So,
right
that's
there.
It. It's hide the history so nobody wakes up and says, wait a second, didn't we do this before? This isn't good.
Yeah, they went around doing book burnings back in some days in some places, and they were trying to, you know, take away things that they thought were bad or evil or whatever, but they took things off the table that might have been very well important or educational. You know, this whole thing about knowledge is power, that's not a joke. These folks out there that have knowledge and access to resources to do whatever it is that they do, you know, they get by with a lot. They get by with so much. Things that you and I wouldn't get by with. If you can afford an attorney, you know, you get you a really high dollar, high power attorney, he might get you off of doing something as strong as murder. But if you ain't got that to fall back on, you're going to jail. There are even people who go to jail that pay to have a lesser jail than what you got. You get a little, whatever, 4x6 cell or 8x10 or whatever. I don't know how big they are. But either way, you get this little booth, and these other people, they got TVs and internet and all that kind of stuff. It's not like being in jail for you, but that's because they had money.
You have to think about, number one, what's getting you riled up. Number one, where are you standing? Number two, what is it that they're getting you riled up about? And you must be connected and very clear about what that being riled up and protesting about will do to our Constitution. Okay, this is the key piece where people aren't thinking about that. You know, so something has to be done, that's for sure. Because, yeah, but it's not about taking down our Constitution. You know, they want to rewrite the Constitution. This is Soros's plan in that civil society that Clinton and Soros and Obama, they set up the Civil Society 2.0. You can look that up. I think I posted it up. Within this doctrine, they're talking about throughout the whole world getting these young people riled up through this tech information and various other things, and to get them riled up to get out there and protest, and the revolutions in the street against their government, to take down the government and change the Constitution.
Yep.
This is the word. So people, this is what's happening. And you know, it's so, Yolen says, Jerry says, hate is being seeded everywhere by the satanic jerks.
Yeah.
Well, I have
so
to say,
we got privatized wars. We got privatized prisons. We got people out there trying to basically erase their own freedoms by trying to get in there and change the Constitution to suit their needs. They think, look, these folks honestly think that if they can get what they want, they're going to be happy. Are you serious? I mean, seriously, think about this. There, a lot of folks out there, there's so much I could say about this particular subject, but when they turn around and they deplete those rights, the freedom of speech suddenly becomes illegal. You can't speak out against your government. You can't speak out against other groups.
Right.
That's not freedom. That'll never be freedom.
Yeah.
And then when they feel offended and they want to speak out, they're not going to be allowed to speak out. So they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Well, they have their doctrine to change the Constitution if they get control and rule. Right now, here in the United States, our Constitution has actually been shifted.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about the issue with free speech, and we are also talking about surveillance. Now, okay, our people, our citizens, that is against the Constitution to be surveilled. Guess what? There's surveillance all over the place now, and that was put in after 9/11 with the war on terrorism. So, yes, they're changing the Constitution. So, yes, it can be done. So I'm just saying.
Well,
they have this. We have to be careful.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, this is what's going on. So here we have everybody in the world. We're under the same issue here, people. We're not any different than you guys out there, wherever you are in the world. This is a systematic breakdown and takedown of your rights, your freedoms, and various other things that are really, you know, important to us and our grandchildren and so on. This is the foundation. Okay, yes, there are a lot of things that are messed up, screwed up, and we need to shift these things, but we also have to have critical thinking, clarity, and common sense.
Yeah.
This is my...
It used to be innocent until proven guilty. Now it's presumed guilty. You got for-profit prisons that are making billions of dollars off of the war on drugs. You got for-profit mercenaries who are going out there doing the bidding of whether it be the CIA or whatever government entity thinks it's going to be a lot cheaper to pay somebody else to go over there and do their dirty work or actually take a military over there. They're finding loopholes around having to have a constitutional war. You see what I'm saying? So these folks out there fighting against the Constitution are basically being the enablers for the corrupt elitist of the world who are using prisons as a way to make money. They're using the courts as a way to make money. They're using wars as a way to make money. They're using health care as a way to make money. They're using every aspect of every human life in the entire world as a way to make money. You have literally become, if not have been, since the dawn of this whole entire mess, a cattle. You're like cattle. You're like a dollar sign, a walking dollar sign for these people. If they can keep you sick, they can make money. If they can keep you fighting each other, they can make money. If they can keep you upset or depressed or whatever, they're going to make money. You get drunk because you want a little bit of fun. You want a little bit of release from the tension of everyday hard work and, you know, life and trying to take care of your family. So you deserve a break. All right, now you go to the liquor store or maybe down to your local drug dealer and you get a little something that you're now going to ingest and you're going to make yourself happy for a minute or two. This is what they have done to the human spirit, and they're making money off of it. The war on drugs, it's a joke in reality, but it's not a joke in your life. There are people in prison longer for drugs than there are for murder. There are a large population of people behind bars. They make money by how many beds that they can keep filled up in those prisons. And it's not just in this nation. It's in every nation. These folks have figured out a way to make money no matter what you do. You drive down the road, you go over the speed limit a little bit, or your tail light's out, they're going to make some money. You're going to go hire an attorney. That attorney, he's still paying taxes on the money he makes. So they're going to make some money. Everything that you do, they're going to make some money at. And so why would you want to support the same system that has been doing to the people what these folks have been up to? Now, there's your evil. There's your evil in a nutshell. Somebody once said the root of all evil is money. And I'm starting to really seriously believe that. You know, you need...
I kind of am there with you on that because, I think it's the power, money and power. Greed, money, power. They're like these three evils, you know. The people who have money, it seems, and again, I want to be careful here because I'm finding that those that are leaning towards the far, 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 far left and out there protesting the so-called, okay, everything under the white supremacy flag. White supremacy is the big issue now. So if you happen to be white and you might have some money, well, you're a supremacist, a white supremacist, you're a Nazi. This is how far left, how far out of control this is going. So we have to be careful. But it seems that, and I know the some people who have money that do good things. You know, we have a, this is a country where you can come and learn something good and make money. You can grow, you know, exponentially and become a wealthy person. But then there's this arena where somehow something starts to happen to certain people. I suppose we could address what the heck is that? Certain people where they suddenly become money, and they power hungry, and then that's the greed power controlling faction, and they get involved in a system that isn't such a good thing. So
yeah.
I'm not saying that people with money are white supremacists, but I have to tell you that that's where a lot of people are going, and that kind of is concerning me. It's, you know, if you celebrate Thanksgiving today, if you celebrate Columbus Day, you're a white supremacist today. This is where it's going. Is this extreme? Is this crazy? I'm asking you. But yeah. I'm like, I'm not, I know what happened to what Columbus did. I know that he murdered, you know, many indigenous people. I know that. I know that's not a good thing. We shouldn't be celebrating Columbus. But if you're an Italian, you know, this is like their day, right? Columbus was Italian, supposedly. So all the Italians now are upset because they're taking down Columbus Day in many states. I'm just saying. This is about pitting us against each other. That's all I see it as.
There's a comment in the chat room, A9-7264 said, at least 75% of the world's problems that you are discussing will vanish when the free energy arrives and is revealed, not at once, but gradually it will happen. And, you know, there's a lot of truth behind that because of the fact that most of the wars that you see out there are over resources. They even had mentioned at one point the next great wars would be over water. The Earth is three-quarters covered in water.
Well, no, we're already in war for water, but I want to ask that person who posted that, okay, so they sound like they're obviously believing that free energy is going to be exposed, but I have to say, if the numbers of people knew that we had free energy for I don't know how many decades, there'd be riots in the streets, I think. You know, there'd be some tar and feathering going on. I don't know if that really is because you have corporations that need to be in place in order to be, to, you know, money. They need the money, the power companies, the oil. You need all of that. They're not going to just give up easily and say, yeah, by the way, there's free energy, right?
No, there's definitely a kickback against that. I can tell you that from experience. But
well, absolutely. There are people who have created, you know, who have created inventions for I don't know how long with free energy, and the some government group in black suits come in and take all their papers or destroy all their information. I mean, that you can look that up. That's real.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing to me is that, you know, Tesla believed back in the day that if we could get free energy to the world, that, you know, number one, everybody would be a lot better off because they get to enjoy the luxuries of, you know, what we got as far as heating, cooling, and fresh water and all that kind of stuff. But it would give people who weren't out fighting over resources anymore.
But I will say, I have to say, he's absolutely right. But according to the plan, and if you want to say, well, the elite's plan, the cabal's plan, the Agenda 2130 plan, they don't want to give us free energy.
No, that's
screw up,
screw
up their plan.
This whole thing that they do about carbon emissions and global warming and all that climate change crazy stuff, that is another way to take yet even more money from the people. And the companies that are supposedly paying carbon taxes have carbon credits where they can actually buy, sell, and trade these. And there's a multi-million-dollar business exchanging these credits. They're not solving anything. None of these so-called deals have solved anything. We still have hunger. We still have wars. We still have sickness. We still have all this stuff. These supposed leaders of the world, and even those people out there that support socialism and every other ism out there, they're fooling themselves first off, because they think that they're gonna, you know, be able to make a better world. But they're not. They're not getting anything done. And the hypocrisy of the whole entire mess is that they keep telling you and I, playing on our heartstrings, we got to do this to save the planet. We got to do that. But their actions are contrary. You take a drone strike out there, how much crud did you just kick up in the air? How many collateral damages were there? Say, we got two people in here now, Bubba.
I was just going to say, we got two visitors.
Yay.
Our favorite people. Woohoo.
Say hi, people.
Hey, people. Good morning, people.
Hi, people.
Hi there, you guys. Good you coming on. We've been talking our heads off.
Whoa. I hear you guys.
I know, but it's been good stuff.
Hard to keep up with you guys now. I'm still half asleep. Well, I got my second coffee, and boy, that carbon scam. What a scam that is, guys.
Yep.
And I've been studying it quite a bit here lately, and actually, you know, all our carbon levels on the planet are affected by the planet. We have a very, very small impact on carbon levels. I've actually read through reports that state that we're at one of the lowest levels of carbon concentration in the atmosphere right now that we've seen in about 400 years. And of course, carbon supports all life on the planet. It's what plants love, man.
Hey, Barry.
We are taxing people to stop producing carbon when we're actually at a low point in carbon concentrations in the atmosphere. I've read three reports on that.
Barry, true story.
The exact same thing. So what a scam.
True story, Barry. Just yesterday, I nearly got run over by a tractor trailer that was actually dragging behind it a big tank of CO2.
Hmm.
And what do they do with that? What do they do with CO2? There's so many uses for CO2, it'd blow your doors off. Everybody listening in, go Google up uses for CO2. It'll blow your doors off. I'll just say that.
They don't want you to know. They're not going to educate the public. The public's going to have to educate themselves, and that's why we're here.
That's it.
It's like everything we talk about. They're never going to allow us to know about free energy unless we learn about it ourselves, but it is there. And you're right. If the public knew that we've been living a lie under fossil fuels and coal-fired generators and nuclear power for the last 50, 60 years, there would be riots in the streets. But everybody sitting in this room right now knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that free energy is a reality.
But what people need to stop doing is talking about going into rioting because the government is doing something rotten. What they need to do is take this knowledge and start building upon it, and instead of being out there rioting, put these doggone technologies in the hands of the people, for Pete's sake. I kept talking about a long time ago about pulling water right out of the air, and people laughed. And they mocked and they ridiculed. At the same exact time when they had dehumidifiers in their basement to suck out the moisture so that their room would get moldy. Dehumidifiers, air conditioning units, even the one in your car, are heat exchange systems that literally draw moisture from the air and the temperature difference, and they're pulling water out. So this one guy, he's got these huge water generators that he's taken around to different places, and he's made money off of basically the equivalence of a really clean running dehumidifier. So you can get water anywhere. And what do you do?
Well, you know, and I know they're never going to allow us to have anything that's beneficial. Anything that's going to take power away from them and give it to us, they won't allow us to have it. We've got to take it ourselves.
Yep.
It's time for civil disobedience and stand up. We're not going to take this crap. We'll do what we want to do. And you guys ain't going to stop us, but that's going to take a massive weakening.
Yeah.
People standing up together, because if one or two people do it, they'll quash it. But if 100,000 people all of a sudden stood up and said, hey, we've had enough, we're going to do this, and you ain't nothing about it, ain't got enough jail to put us all in jail.
That's it. Come together, put all your tools together, put all your resources together, start building these free energy devices, start building water treatment systems and, you know, oxygen treatment systems that, you know, you can help benefit your people. That's it. Because the government ain't going to do it. The system ain't going to do it. They've already proven that. You know, look at this. Every single year without fail, your fuel prices go up. Your food prices go up. Always, constantly going up. And how far can they go up before something gives and nobody can afford it anymore? They talk about economic collapse. That they're driving towards economic collapse by forcing the people's hand. You take the money. Everybody who's listening right now, if you've got any change in your pocket, reach in your pocket, pull out some of that change and jingle it around. Unless you got something from 1964, what's standing in your hand is lesser and lesser the more you get to the present year. You get to modern day coins, you wash them a few times, and they will corrode beyond recognition of what the coin really is. It's not even real money anymore. It's monopoly money. There's no silver coins after 64. There's 70% silver coins up to maybe around the 70s. But the further you get down, they took your money that was supposedly backed by gold and silver and they depleted it. Now it's a penny is worth less than it costs to make the penny.
Well, a silver quarter in silver value is worth about, yep, I think, $3.25 in silver value in a 25-cent quarter from 1966.
Yeah, okay.
So if we had any kind of insight, we could have put a bunch of them away.
A penny
but,
is copper-coated
no
zinc.
Monetary value is point itself. It's just a symbol. It's just like fiat currency.
Yeah.
And you know what? Eventually, they will bring society to a point where we're collapsing. And, of course, that's all part of the plan, guys. We know that. Because out of that kind of chaos will come control.
You get everybody reliant on the government.
Exactly the way they plan it.
Yeah.
You see it coming.
You get everybody reliant on the government, then you snatch all those benefits away from them. They can't feed their family anymore, and they're going to get mad. When they get mad, they'll be out in the streets. That's exactly the trigger point needed in order to start a civil conflict.
Exactly, and the collapse of the dollar, the way we know it right now, I believe will be the trigger mechanism that they're going to use, guys. I really honestly believe that. Because we talked about this before, what would happen to society all of a sudden if your dollar was worthless.
Yeah.
The chaos that would create in society. Well, you know, and I know, we've said it millions of times before, out of chaos will come control. The government will come along with the answer. They'll have the solution to the problem. Don't worry about it, folks. Go back to work. Everything's fine. We're just bringing in a new currency, and these are the new rules. And you won't have a choice but to follow those rules.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a great percentage of society will just bend right over for this.
We need our own solution, such as not responding the way that they expect us to respond. And if
we got to be prepared for what's coming.
Yeah.
People got to mentally prepare for it, because a great deal of society will not be mentally prepared. Everybody, there's a lot of people out there that are still in the bubble that think, you know, things are bad. Sure, we have a little less money all the time, but we can still go to the store and get our food, and we can still buy gas, and we have a roof over our head. You know, things are getting a little bit tougher, but we're surviving. But boy, all of a sudden, the sledgehammer came down. Those people would just lose it. Lose it.
Oh, yeah.
Millionaires would become on the same level playing ground as you and me in a period of 48 hours. You think about the ripple effect in society. Well, I believe that's the trigger that we'll use, guys. I do. I'd like to hear your opinion on that.
They'll be fighting over water. They'll be fighting over food. They'll be fighting over medicine. They'll be fighting over everything in the streets. And then they will be begging.
Your neighbor will kill you for a loaf of bread. Think about that.
Begging and pleading for this same government, same system that started this mess to begin with, incrementally tore everything apart just so that they, you know, just like the military, they got to break you down so they can build you back up again, make a good citizen out of you. Because right now,
I've said enough. I want to hear from Patty. I come here just to hear her talk. Well, good morning, Patty. What do you think? I got to put you on the spot here.
What the heck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, you know, talking about the going way back, because when you guys were talking about Soros and, you know, when they started, these things get started way, way back when the college loan bubble. You remember when they started giving out these loans to anybody who wanted to go to college and, oh, it's easy. Just sign your name up here. You don't have a job. That's okay. We're going to pay you to go to school, and we're going to pay for your apartment. We're going to pay for your food and your utilities, and everybody jumped on the bandwagon because, hey, you could go to school perpetually and you didn't have to worry about it because it was all, it looked good on paper. And all those kids, you know, they lined up. Sure, who wouldn't, if offered something like that and you didn't have the critical thinking ability to realize that, oh, things really aren't as free as they say. So you jump on it and you go to college and you invest your time in college and, hey, it's a big game because everything's paid for. Either mom and dad are paying for it or the state is paying for it and you're having a good time. You get to go to the parties, you know, and you get to pick your classes. Well, let's pick an easy class. Let's go with literature or things like this, you know, so that we can goof off and have a really good time because we're young kids and that's what we do. And then all of a sudden they want their money. They want you to give them their money, but you realize that there's no way that even if you got the job that pays $100,000 a year, it's going to take you 70 years to pay off that freaking loan. So these kids are looking at this and they're already defeated. So in comes this political diatribe that says, hey, we're going to give you everything free. You don't have to pay for your education anymore. We'll even pay you to sit home. We'll give you $1,000 a month to sit on your butt. You don't even have to work if you don't want to. You get free this, you get free that, you get everything is free. These kids, they were built. This system, this leftist doctrine, this socialist doctrine was built on the minds of these young kids. They didn't get anything out of school. They didn't have to. They didn't have to perform. And now your young kids, the younger ones that are in the elementary schools, they're starting out with, you don't have to achieve anything. You just have to show up because everybody is the same and nobody gets left behind. So there's no system to gauge where you're at or that you're left behind or that you maybe have to work hard. You just have to show up. This is what we've allowed to incrementally be set up, and we thought it was all good. You know, get on the soccer field. I'm tired of that team always beating my team. Well, hey, let's give everybody a participation ribbon, and there is no winner. Everybody goes home happy, right? Except for when you get home, the real world really isn't like that. Yeah, everybody doesn't get a participation. Yeah. So this is how they build these things. This isn't something that it just happened. They've been working on this for years in every aspect of our lives. This is not something that just came about. Well, socialism never died out.
That's right.
It just went underground.
They gave everybody rose-colored glasses to wear.
Yeah.
And the system, basically, rose-colored glasses, so all these young people think they deserve everything free, like you said, and an easy life. And if they get insulted by what you're saying or their feelings hurt, well, they're going to be out there in the streets protesting you and calling you a Nazi or whatever and the word is in that moment. You know
why kids are so messed up now, man. You look at what they're living in. I mean, they're being told the world's going to end in 12, 15 years. They're being fed food that absolutely is destroying their body. They're being vaccinated to death.
Destroying their brains, too.
Destroying their brain, destroying their... They're being taught that you can be a tree, you can be a cat, you can be a dog, you can marry that tree, you can be anything you want, and it's all fine. And we add to that equation, we're spraying chemicals in our sky. We don't know what they're actually putting into these compounds now because of nanotechnology. We have no idea what they're doing up there. Only what some reports are telling us, but you combine that all together and you sit back and you go, well, these people sat down 40, 50 years ago in think tanks and they predicted exactly where we are today and they implemented everything necessary to bring society to that point. And here we are. So to deprogram it is a monumental task because kids, like you said, are under the understanding that this is the way it is. This is the way it's always been. They don't teach history in school. kids come out of school with no life skills at all. They couldn't plant a plant if their life depended on it. If you stuck them in the bush, they'd be lost. Put them out in the real world, they're lost. So what are we doing? Add to the factor now, we have what the rise in autism is projected to be 1 in 2 children by 2025. You think about that, add that to the equation. Where are we going, man? It's insanity. Insanity, but it's working exactly the way they laid it down 30, 40, 50 years ago. I'm going to say that as a timeline because that's when I see the real ramp up of the attack on our all aspects of what it means to be a human being. From our moral to our health to everything it means to be a human being. We've been put under attack and now we find ourselves a society of pretzels coming out of school that are stuck for an answer if you ask them their name. And what are we producing? Look at our stochastic levels in the world. What they were in 1970 where America and Canada were as far as scholastic levels, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, in the world and where we are now. It's just like everything's correlated. And if you put the scales beside each other, vaccines, autism, they're all perfect match on the rise in all these different things that are attacking us. Pretty crazy, but that's what they've been doing.
I was in a room yesterday with a lot of people, another side of the family, but just about the majority of the people in the room had health issues. You had autism, you had obesity, you had diabetes, you had, you know, all different types of illnesses that you can possibly imagine. And as I'm sitting there and I'm looking around the room and I'm trying to be passionate and, you know, talk to these folks and looking at them, you know, I started talking about science and I started talking about alternative medicines, and the majority of these folks had no idea that any of the things that I was even talking about even existed. The one guy was talking about, you know, how he wants to look into hemp seed oil as far as diabetes because he's tired of taking these doggone needles and injecting themselves with insulin and stuff, which is understandable. But for the most part, people are so indoctrinated that they will believe whatever the doctor says, and unfortunately I don't have a lot of respect for the medical industry because it's a money game these days. It's not about healing people or making people better. It's about treating symptoms. And even earlier when we first started talking about this show, they were talking about the equivalence of ecstasy that they were giving to the doggone veterans with PTSD, and even talking about psychotropic drug giving them for PTSD. And so if you look at what has gone on, the way that the system has played out, they're making money off of keeping people sick. They're making money off of keeping people at war. They're making money off of keeping people in jail. The never-ending wars don't just reside on the battlefield. They're the war on drugs, the war on women, the war on men, the war on gender, the war on everything that you could possibly imagine, the war on guns. Constantly keeping that pot stirred. These all these different subjects out there that people get so passionate about. I get it. Everybody wants to take away all the guns because if there's no guns, nobody's going to be shooting each other. But keep in mind that the first murder in history, according to what I believe, was done with a stone. It was a rock that killed the first person out there. But nonetheless, that all common sense aside, all these individuals out here who are passionate about their ways that they think, you know, anti-capitalism, anti-fascism, anti-whatever, socialism, racism, all these different subjects, every one of them fall back to the same exact agenda that you all have been explaining since we started this show many years ago. And I want to know, what is it going to take to reach out to the people of the world to, you know, get them to understand what this system has been doing to them? How do we stop the never-ending wars? The only way that I ever heard was what you said, Barry, is no more compliance. I'm not going to war for you. You know, I'm not paying my taxes anymore. If you're going to use my tax money to go out and kill somebody else, I'm not paying them no more. But then you go back to the indoctrination factor, where people are so fearful of their own government that they will not comply. They will pay their taxes for fear that they'll lose their property or they'll lose their freedom. And that's absolutely the dirty deal right there.
It comes to a point, I think, is that civil disobedience is your responsibility.
Yeah.
It's what you have to do. It's not something that you should do. It's what you have to do, because if you don't stand up to it, we know about it, if you don't stand up to it, make a stand, then you're just another one of the people that are stuck in the matrix.
But so if you do,
if you do
civil disobedience, at least do it with some common sense and a well thought out deal. You know, civil disobedience doesn't mean you have to go out there and put yourself in a position of harm. Civil disobedience could be something as simple as you're going to help your neighbor out, as opposed to calling the law on your neighbor. You're going to go over there and you notice that their grass is too tall, and they maybe their lawnmower's broke down, or maybe their health is bad, and you go over and mow it for them just to ensure that government don't get those tax monies. Or when you see that somebody's actually being abused, you stand up for their rights. You know, it's just, it's mind-blowing. You know, going out there throwing bricks through other people's businesses, buildings, is not doing anything to help your situation. It just empowers the government yet even more. Am I wrong?
No, you're correct.
That's what they're doing. They're giving away their freedom. They're doing everything that they can.
They're shooting themselves in the foot, and they don't realize they're just another pawn, one step up the ladder from you.
Yeah.
These people that are working against us in a society, there'll come a point where they'll be discarded just as fast as you will be discarded. They're just being used, and they think they're on the team, and they're not.
We're all still pawns. We think we're not. Because any system that controls those below them, and that's the kind of systems that we have. It doesn't matter what government. There is no government out there that says, "Hey guys, we think you can be responsible enough," because they made sure we weren't responsible enough. They divided us enough, and they gave us enough to hate each other about and to disagree with each other. I mean, everything from the color of our skin to the car we drive to the team that we root for. I mean, all of this stuff was made to divide us, and we all just reached our hand into that goodie bag and pulled out our biases and our divisions, and we held them out in front of us and said, "I got mine," you know?
Well, Patty, would you agree that we, even what we're doing right here, are a necessary part of the game, but one of the things that differs us from most folks out there is that we're careful with our words not to incite hate and violence by telling people these things, by just trying
to... Well, yeah. But they're ready for us with that too. Not to say that we shouldn't, because this is where we need to be. But we need, I think clarity needs to come about. We're still finding reasons why one side is better than the other side, you know, and my color's better than your color, and we're blaming it on this, and we're blaming it on that, and we're blaming it on everything. But it comes down to us. That we allow someone or something to govern us, to push our buttons, to mold us, to manipulate us, to raise our children on a dogma and ideology. And we allow it, and then we stand back and we say, "Now wait a minute, I don't like this." But it's already done. What we need to do, and I do agree 100%, we have to be non-compliant. And it's the thing about it is reality says that we realize that non-compliance and walking away, we've been talking about it for how long? Walking away and bringing the things that we know do work together to to create something that works for everybody.
Yep.
But the thing of it is, that they know we're coming. They know we're here. And, yeah, you just said it. Black Friday's coming. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say, she says, because it's time to consume.
Yep.
And the only place you can consume is in society, because society has it all for you. So if you're not in society consuming, sucks to be you, you know? We've got to get to a point to where people are so fed up and are so put upon and so driven by this ideology to where they can see that they're not benefiting from it. But what we got to have in place for them is, like you said, your free energy, your way of stepping out of society. How are you going to do that? We got to let them know. We've got to show them the different ways that they can do this and survive, because nobody's going to want to step out if they can't go to the store and get their gummy bears.
That's right.
You know?
Black Friday is one of the biggest lie manipulations of the system that I have ever seen. And I read an article on the Black Friday, how they actually do this. Prior to Black Friday, they raise the prices of an article or item, right? So then they mark it down just as Black Friday rolls around so that it looks like it's on sale. But it's actually the same price that it was originally, just saying.
Yeah.
You know, here,
each other, punching each
it's
other.
It's a media event here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a
media event. Yeah. Tune in at 6 to see what happened at the Walmart here, you know? And look at these crazy stamp painting over there, you know?
Yeah. Buy something you don't really need, but it's on sale, so you gotta buy it.
Yeah, it's like the $50 store. You guys know about the $50 store?
Uh-uh.
Well, they call it a dollar store, but when you get in there, the mindset is, well, it's only a dollar. Well, it's only a dollar. By the time you got out of there, you spent $50.
You know, I got kicked out of a dollar store. Everything's a dollar store. Because I thought it was fun, you know, because I'd go get something and I'd run up to the front and I'd say, how much is this? And about the seventh time I did it, she said, honey, everything in this store is a dollar, and if you come up here one more time, I'm not going to serve you. And I didn't want anything anyway.
That's not true. I've seen things in dollar stores that are 3, 2...
No, this is everything's a dollar store, and everything is a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I've been in the dollar store.
Real dollar store.
I've seen things that are not a dollar, but anyway. It must be different in your part.
They don't have a sense of humor.
But, either way, these folks out there, you know, the money-making system out there, they got us. They got us out there fighting on Black Friday over TVs. I'm not going, personally, I wouldn't even go to store on Black Friday. I don't want no part of it. But, you know, the people do. They'll stand in line because they want to get that that sale price or whatever, and they really think they got something there. Meanwhile, back at the ranch...
They set up their tents overnight. They'll lay on the street.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of? Remember that movie with Brad Pitt with the zombies? What was the name of it? But the zombies, they ran real fast and... They would climb on top of each other to get up and over the walls and stuff like that. I can't remember what that movie was. But that's what it reminds me of, when they open them doors and then people climb over each other.
Yeah.
And then people get stomped down underneath, you know?
Yeah.
We had a great sale today. Two people got killed, but we had a great sale.
I remember woman was pregnant, waiting in line. She got knocked down, stomped on, whatever. It didn't matter. People just, you know... pushing, shoving, elbowing each other, punching each other.
This
is insanity.
It is. What's gone on in our society is that people get to that point. I had one cool experience this week. I got to tell you about this, guys, real quick. You know, I talked about my knee, and I tore my ACL. I had an MRI done in June, complete tear of the ACL, and I believe I wrapped it with stinging nettle and concrete. And the ACL in my left knee is completely healed. While I was playing hockey this week, the doctor came in. He's a young doctor, you know, 30 years old, and I started telling him about my ACL, and I said, after the game, after we leave, you're please come out to my truck. And I showed him the MRI that I had done in June, complete tear of the ACL, and then I showed him the MRI I had done 3 weeks ago, which states the ACL is completely healed. And this doctor dropped. So that was one of the coolest things that that happened this week.
Cool.
You know, the doctors are so into the book. They come out of medical school, they have their book of prescriptions. This is a human disorder. This is what's got to be done. ACL, complete tear of the ACL. Only way to ever fix it is surgery. That's what I was told by 3 or 4 doctors, surgeon, all these people. You got to get it repaired surgically. Well, I used a herb called singing nettle. It's a member of the ginseng family. And the Indians up here, I should say the Native Americans up here, have used this for thousands of years. And they have a nickname for it. They call it Nitbone.
So
unbelievable. And it completely healed the ACL in my left knee. No surgery required, and I showed this to the doctor. And I tell you guys, his jaw dropped. Yeah, so maybe I found it in his head.
That's the kind of information that the world really desperately needs. Things like alternative medicines, alternative energy, alternatives to the same system that we've been talking about. My final question, because we're getting down there towards the deal, is what do we do about these never-ending wars? How can we find a solution to ensure that our future generations don't spend the nightmares that over they said there was around 20.4 million U.S. veterans in 2016. That's a lot of people who've been to war. That's a lot of people. And it said around 771,000 World War II veterans, 1.6 million who served during Korea and Vietnam. And we haven't even got to the statistics for modern-day conflicts such as Afghanistan, Iraq, and probably soon Iran or whatever, you know. How do we, the people, ensure that this madness finally stops? That's the question I got. I don't know. I feel, like I said earlier, whether I am or I ain't, you know, I believe words are powerful, but I feel helpless. I feel hopeless to the extent as I can't do nothing about it. I can't stop it. You know, I'm just one person.
You're wrong. We're talking about it right now, and it all comes down to education and getting people fully aware of what's going on around them, get them out of the matrix. That's the task you had in front of us. People really aware of what was going on. They'd be forced to get involved. It would compel them to get involved. But unfortunately, we're not there yet.
Well, we got to keep pushing forward, I think.
That's all we can do at this point. That's all we can do.
Sorry, you just what you used. Was it ginseng?
Yeah, it's ginseng. Well, stinging nettle. It grows along our riverbanks all over.
Right, we have stinging nettle here, yeah.
Yeah, it's a member of the ginseng. It's a member of the ginseng family. The only thing uncomfortable about it, when I put it on my knee, it pricked my knee. But, you know, it only pricks for a few seconds. And then I put comfrey over top, which is another incredible herb. And then I took a tensor bandage, and I wrapped it with a tensor bandage for about 6 weeks in a row. And the ACL in my left knee is completely healed. I'm back playing hockey. I didn't think I was going to be playing hockey this year, but I'm back out there kicking pucks out, and my legs aren't bothering me. So it's just
We have those natural medicines, stinging nettles here and comfrey here right on our land. And stinging nettles really stings. That's why they call it stinging nettle. I break out big time with that. It's a good medicine.
It does hurt your knee a little bit, but it goes away really quick. And I just take a little piece and put it over the top of my knee, and sure you're getting a few little needles into your skin, but you got to do that for it to heal your body. So you put up with a little bit of discomfort, but the discomfort didn't, you know, when I wrap it, maybe 10 minutes of discomfort, and then it just goes away.
Just wants to know what you wrapped it with again.
I told him comfrey.
I use comfrey over top of stinging nettle, and then I use a tensor bandage very lightly wrapped on my knee to hold it in place.
Tensor bandage.
Well, we need to
hold it in place. You don't want to put a tensor bandage on your knee and tighten it up. All I do is lightly wrap it so that it stays in place.
Yeah.
That's like an ACE bandage, right?
Yeah, it worked great.
We might not have comfrey or nettles in where he is. I don't know.
Well, maybe somebody can ship them to him, but we need to compile list of all these cures that we've tried personally that helped us, just to put that information on the table. But in the meantime, it's time to go around the table. So who wants to go first?
Ladies first.
Oh, I'll go first. Yeah, so it's really been a good show, always good and great to be here, and it's really also great to see so many people out here in the chat room, and everybody's got great ideas, good input. I love that. It's really cool. Yeah, so we started out talking about the elite, the controlling factor that we're all under, and as we always do, you know, I guess I reached a different level here, a different deep level with a recent, rabbit holes I was in, and I really feel, again, and I have to repeat this, about the urgency of people knowing this information. I guess you asked the question, how are we going to stop these infernal wars? And I think, again, it's sort of like people, all we do here is just share the information that we find that's, you know, that basically we identify as real. How do we identify it as real? Because we're fact-checking, because we're looking at documents. We're not just taking what somebody spews out as fact. You know, we do research. You know, we're investigators, I guess you'd say. And so you got to find the truth, and so that you can then determine what is the best course for you and your people and your family. And, you know, we're not fear-mongers here. We're just looking at various other things because we see something is afoot and been happening here, and we're concerned for everyone because we love everyone here. You're part of our family, and and so we see things to be concerned about, and we're sharing that. And I feel that the more information we have, the better able we are to prepare ourselves for the spiritual battle. This is a big one, and I always say, to me, it's sort of like your faith. Your faith is the biggest piece that, gives you that strength, that foundation, that protection against whatever they throw at us, because they're throwing stuff. And prepare yourselves, in that way. It's got body, mind, spirit preparation for where we are today and where we're moving forward. And I have great faith in humanity. I do. I think a lot of people are waking up. I see that. And more and more and more. And I think this is an amazing, crucial, awesome time that we are experiencing and witnessing. And so that's all I can say. I'm not afraid. I'm not in fear. Even when I see the things that we're talking about, it's sort of like, in a way, I kind of come to the conclusion that, I somehow knew this. Something inside of myself is just kind of like knew something was not right. And I guess when you have that feeling that something just isn't right, you can either just choose to stay in that and just wallow around in that and blame everybody else, or you can stand up and take responsibility for how are you going to move forward in life. And it's an awesome time. That's all I say. So I'm glad to be here. It's good to see everyone out there, and good information all around. And Ilamaya Dokshan.
Thank you very much, Barbara. How about you, Patty?
Well, I have to agree with my sister here, because she's got the wisdoms. And, I think we all are here because we know that things are changing, and we know we're all on the up and up on what's being done across the globe. The thing that I think we still need to work on, though, is that throwing stones just doesn't work. We're all in the same boat, on the same ocean, We're all experiencing the same thing, maybe in different cultural ways, maybe in different political ways, but everything is going in the same direction. We're the ones that are going in the opposite direction. And there's so much information out there. Like Barb said, if you want to know, you have to go and find the information. It's up to you. You can't accept that anything that is given to you on face value is real, unless you've gone and done the due diligence that it takes to figure these things out. then you're not ever going to be wholly aware of what your world is. And there's a lot of illusions. There's a lot of truth. But you have to go in there and dig in and find the truth, or you're going to buy the illusion. Either way, it's up to you. Nobody can force you to do anything. Nobody can tell you that you got to go this way and you got to go that way. It's got to be your choice and your decision, but it should be based on the reality of your due diligence and what you know to be. It's hard enough as it is to find any truth in media today. You can't find it there. You can't find it on the blurbs that you read in the WordPress or anything like that. You have to actually do a lot of research. And it is a benefit. It's not a detriment. And it may consume a little bit of your time, but where do you want to go with this? Do you want to stand in the truth that you know is truth, or do you want to just put the blinders on and say, hey, I don't see that because I didn't look for it? You know, we have everything we need. We've got solutions. We've got the knowledge. We just got to go get it, and then we have to decide what we're going to do with it. It's all up to us, you know. Just saying. Love you guys. And I just wanted to say, Shaziz, your live show on YouTube yesterday was really cool. I enjoyed it. Just wanted to put that out there.
Well,
thank you, everybody, and love you guys.
What about you, Barry?
I want to thank you too, Shaziz, for everything you do. These are the best shows that I get involved in any time during the week. And I'm not in fear right now, but I agree with Barbara. I see an incredible time coming, exciting time coming, but also I do see dark times coming for the human race. I'm not in fear. I believe it's important that we shed light on the dark and expose it for what it is. And if people don't react, don't get involved, then they never will. At this point in our world, there is so many things going on that the normal person, even though they're in the matrix, has got to be sitting back going, something is really messed up in Denmark, and we got to get involved. And if they're not getting involved at this point, I don't know what to say to you, because the information's there, it's in our faces, and it's really ramping up. And I believe it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, but I believe good times will come eventually. But I believe some bad times are coming before that happens. So prepare yourself for that. That's all I got to say.
Well,
great show, love you.
Don't be scared.
We started off with a pretty emotional show today. If you go back and listen to the podcast, it was a pretty hard way to start. But every time I listen to these words of wisdom from these wonderful people and the comments in there, I do end up every single show with hope in my heart. You know, you carry around a big heart in your chest or your spirit or whatever. It's a powerful tool. You know, I don't shake anybody's hand anymore. I come up and give them a hug. I said, from where I come from, we hug. Because I want those people out there, every person I meet, to know that they're truly loved, that they're truly, you know, special. I think that if we could take that heart and we could spread that heart around to the world, I think that we could literally come through all these hard times together in a really profound way. I honestly believe in miracles. I believe that dreams, good dreams, do come true if you really, really want to inspire one another to make it so. I still believe in the dream. You know, I still believe that there's a possibility that we could fix this stuff. It's going to take wisdom because, you know, like a comment in the chat room, a lot of people are greedy. A lot of people, you know, are selfish, and they don't think of others. They think of themselves, but they were raised to believe that. They were raised to believe that they are owed something. We don't owe each other nothing with the exception of being the good helpers and caretakers and humans to one another. I think our purpose down here was a learning purpose. That's my belief. My personal belief is I think we were here to learn some things. I also think we are here to work. I think we're here to do good things. I think we're here to do amazing things. And I honestly believe that if humanity ever reached down deep down inside that good light and turn that light on and start doing the right thing as opposed to the wrong thing, which is not easy. I'll tell you what, sometimes getting out here talking about some of the subjects that we do, it'll touch your soul. It'll touch your heart in the depths. And I really love these shows because it gives us a chance to breathe. It gives us a chance to actually reach out to other people and let them know that even though things seem to be a real bad mess, that there's solutions available. And we got to take the time to take those solutions, like Patty said, we find them and then decide what to do with them. We have every answer to every problem necessary to resolve all these issues. But we can't rely on other entities out there, whether they be government or corporations or, you know, groups of secret societies. We can't rely on them to wake up one day and have, you know, one of those moments where they feel like, you know, it's time to do the right thing. You need to do the right thing as an individual. You need to do the right thing with each other. You need to get out there and find those people that are living under the bridges and help them in any way possible. You need to get out there and find those children who are hungry and help them. You need to help each other. You need to be respectful of each other. You need to understand that that person washing your dishes is doing you a service. That person that's bringing you your food is doing you a service. As a veteran, I'm asked, and I apologize. I honestly apologize because I hate getting to this state. But as a veteran, I've seen a lot of terrible things. And I have people all the time telling me, thank you for your service. And I put my arm on them and I say, look, thank you for yours. You brought me my food. You brought those people their food. Thank you for your service. And I think that's what we're all supposed to do. We're all supposed to be in service to each other. No man stands above each other. Our Creator, He did a wonderful thing when He scattered out all the gifts amongst all the people, because the thing that came about that is one day we have to realize that we really truly need each other to get the things done, to do the right thing. Peace and love, everybody.
Love you, Shaz.
Love you, Shaz.
Love you,
Shaz.
Love you too.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh. One ant. Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Says the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.